been schmabulous episode of...
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo. Mike O'Mara.
Oh, who are you guys with? NBC? CBS?
Radio Gods.
Who gave up jobs for security? For show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK. Washington's Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
106.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Joe, I got a couple of things I want to ask you about. The first is that you received, the way I heard it described to me, a 5-star BJ.
This was like 5.5 stars.
So that was five stars. So this was the best that you've ever had?
Yeah.
So when you were done then, you were at her place. How did you get out of it?
Did you say, I have to go? And she said, Roddy Bridger.
The Don and Mike Show.
For all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I have a request. Someone asked me to do a message before we move on. I love you, Jesus. I don't take that for granted, but I love you. Thank you.
Don't you like Elvis?
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? A man who was there. He was not there physically, but in spirit, he was there.
Right.
On the day that Elvis fell over off his toilet into the shag carpeting and broke his teeth and choked on his vomit.
With his mismatched pajamas.
As he was led up towards the light.
Uh-huh.
Light. He saw.
Light.
Bill Hochberg. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Bill.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Light.
Please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
There you go, Rob. You got a double shot today.
It's dark news. Phil might have to quit the show.
Why?
No. He's got an offer to be security guard for the Grease Man. And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Invisible and all the ships at sea. Hey, it's even better than a belly full of codeine, morphine, Quaalude, Valium, Valmid, Placidil, Amitol, Nembutal, Demerol, and Sinutab. Elvis is dead, but here's the very live Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on Thursday, August 16. Made it back home. Glad to be broadcasting again from our home station, WJFK, Washington, D.C. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don.
There you go.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Okay, covered.
Covered.
Covered ground. Before we start the Elvis Show, let me just make a couple of brief things to get out of the way here.
Very good.
Very brief, and then on to the Elvis Show. First, just let me say thank you, Jesus, that NFL football is on tonight.
tonight.
Right.
I wonder if you're watching football tonight.
Stay away from the light.
Football, as a matter of fact, is on tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and next Monday.
Wow.
It's beautiful. I'm not going to see my family for 5 days.
I wish you'd start watching that Hard Knocks show instead of taping it all the time.
Well, I watch, Mike.
I'm trying to commiserate with you. That's your kind of show.
I come to work earlier than you do.
I didn't watch it this morning.
I don't go to bed.
I watched it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't go to bed late at night. I TiVo'd it. I'll watch it when I get
home
tonight.
Did you watch the one from the week before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Where Tony Siragusa put the thing up against the door?
Yeah, I saw it.
All right.
I saw it.
Great show.
Football, it's back. I love it. Second, Richard, the guy who drives us from WNEW to the airport.
Yes, he's dead.
Oh, no, he's not dead.
All right.
But yesterday we had the thrill of having the car overheat.
No, I mean, it was warm, but it wasn't that kind of warm.
To the point where there was, I mean, it looked like the car was on fire.
Yeah.
There was so much smoke.
Yeah. Wow.
Coming out from under the hood of this thing. Hold on, who's calling already? Hello?
Please?
Excuse me?
Joe?
Yeah, hold on. Joe's right here.
Yeah, Joe Ardinger. Why is she calling me?
I don't know if she hung up. Maybe
wondered that was five-star Sally.
It was the five-star BJ.
Better was.
The pig with the five-star BJ. So, you know, we bust ass out of the radio station yesterday thinking that we're going to make it to LaGuardia, the bitch of all airports, in record time. We turned. Rob, where were we when the... when the car overheated?
It started to smoke lightly, I believe, on 57th Street, and then there's a small left turn that takes you up to the Queensboro Bridge.
Right.
And we never quite made it up there because...
So you didn't get out of Manhattan?
No, very, very tough lady cop said, "Hey! Hold on over!
You got fluid leaking out of there."
Oh,
there was
no.
That river of like yellow green stuff, all the coolant coming out.
So,
right.
So the car has overheated and the smoke is pouring out. Richard's got the hood up and we're on the side of the road. And as we're sitting there, realizing that we're missing our airplane, at one point there's all this traffic that's going by. It's inching by, and a guy in a yellow cab pulls up. And because traffic has stopped, he's at a light, he's right next to us, and he starts heckling us.
Yes, laughing at us.
He says, "Hey, that's why you should take a yellow cab. That's a waste of money. You're in that car. Look at me. Yellow cab." I mean, the guy heckled us for a good 5 minutes.
That's pretty funny.
As we sat on the side of the road.
Well, it wasn't the kind of weather where a car should overheat, so the car must have been in dire straits to start with.
It's a new car, but it uses some computer chip and apparently overheats a lot. And yeah, the taxi cab driver said, "And next time, take a yellow." And our driver, Richard, yelled back at him, "Next time, get a green card."
So it was,
that's funny.
It was a festive afternoon getting back. I think when I arrive here at the station today, that things are be calm. And we're back in Fairfax, which is obviously nothing like, you know, the hubbub of New York.
Right.
And I walk in today to a couple of S-storms.
No.
First, I understand Ken Stevens, who, as far as I know, just found out yesterday that we're doing the midday slot. I mean, he's not exactly in touch with what we do on the show.
No, I find myself, as a matter of fact, I spent about 15, 20 minutes with Ken yesterday morning while I was having breakfast. Ken walked by the diner, and I invited him in, and I feel as though I have to kind of recreate everything on the show because Ken doesn't listen, but I guess he listened this morning.
Yeah, right. Now, what we do here is we go on the network live with the stations that carry us live now at 11 o'clock, and from 10 to 11 o'clock on WNEW in New York, we run a best of show that is hosted by Rob A. Well, apparently today Rob selected some of the segments where Dennis Murphy sings his Christmas songs.
Right.
And Rob got hotlined.
Yep.
By Ken Stevens.
By Kenny the Gardener.
Wow. Imagine that.
Well, he wasn't even, he was, I guess, too mad to even make the call himself, but he sent words by direct quote. And I said, back to him, via the messenger of FJ, I said...
Oh, Johnny. Okay. Yeah. So Johnny's the guy who has to call you on the hotline,
he
right?
He said, "Why are you doing this? Ken doesn't like this." And I said, "Well, tell Ken it's zany." Which I really think it is. I mean, you know,
Christmas in August, very
right.
Zany.
Right. And Ken came back to me and saying, "No, Rob, it's not zany, it's stupid," and that's a direct quote. So if I bothered people with my stupidity this morning, forgive me.
You want to call Kenny?
Yep.
get to the bottom of this.
Oh, no. Find out exactly what's going on.
This is more zaniness.
WNEW.
Hi, Ken Stevens, please.
Who's calling?
Don and Mike.
Oh, hold on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Since when does Ken give a rat's ass what we do on this show?
He picks his spots.
Yeah, he does.
He preys upon the weak.
Yeah, poor defenseless Rob Spiewak. Yeah.
He picks on Rob because he knows Rob. You know.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, wait.
Are you hotlining Rob today?
What are you doing?
Hello.
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 Are you you're hotlining Rob today?
What's the deal? Rob's doing a little Christmas in August? You had trouble with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why? Come on.
I didn't know what you were talking about at first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that Rob thought that would be zany.
Yeah, that's the word.
Hey, at least we got the same quote.
I hate zany.
Well, that's a
at least he's being honest.
I didn't know that you, for one, even understood the concept of zany.
Possibly I don't.
All right, you don't understand the concept of zany. Do you understand the concept of harebrained?
Of what?
Harebrained.
Harebrained, yes.
How about wacky?
Wacky?
Wacky.
No, I don't think I like wacky either.
You don't like wacky either. All right, well, it's very unnerving. Please, you know,
Rob was crying when we came into the studio today.
You know, it's
good, good, good.
Good, Jesus Christ.
That he likes.
You know, this is the first time, and we've worked for Ken now for 10 years. Yeah. This is the first time that I get to think he's really gotten hands-on involved in the show.
He actually, listen, this would be, what, the third or fourth time this year?
I don't try to make a habit of it, no.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. All right, well, thanks. And you've scarred Rob for life.
Yeah Rob was, sitting in his own urine when we came in today.
I'm canceling my Easter and August show that I had planned for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it's not zany, Ken. It's only stupid.
There you go.
Good.
Hey, Rob, if you're going to be
fine
zany.
Fine line, right?
If you're going to be zany, Rob, you got to do that Easter show in January, though.
That would be wacky.
Absolutely.
But he hates zany.
All right.
And
hey, Ken?
Yeah.
How about instead of just doing a wacky show, how about we just do a show with the transcript that you sent down today?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's funny.
That gave me a cold chill.
Don't worry, okay. We won't say anything more about it.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that's one reason this is a nutty place. I mean, of all the things Ken gets involved with, that's what he's worried about.
Amazing.
So then I get here at the studio this morning, and they have what's called a dump log. And at first, before I got into the programming of the station, I thought that they actually were logging when guys would go and take a duke, right?
Right, a dump log.
Yeah, when people were going number two.
It's where you go in, you count the pieces.
Well, as it turns out, the dump log...
Usually for me, 3-2, Rob.
The dump log is they actually write down every time they dump something out of one of the shows that they deem to be, not fit for public consumption.
Right.
So I'm looking at the dump log yesterday, and I see that the Pixie, who runs the dump button on our show... And keep in mind, she's just supposed to be the last resort. I mean, I've got a dump button... Lisa's got a dump button.
Right.
Charles Broyhill on the third floor has a dump button. She got a dump button. Nobody trusts us. There's four different delays on this show. So at one point yesterday when you and I were discussing the tickets to the producers, she was listening to the show, and one of us, either you or I, I'm not sure, said to the other, don't look a gift ticket in the mouth.
Right.
And she thought that we said, don't look a gift Dick Nixon in the mouth.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, which makes no sense that we would say that.
No.
But she hit the dump button and deleted 15 seconds of the show.
Oh, dear.
So I saw her in the hall today, and I said, hey, Pixie. She was walking towards me, and I'm walking towards her. I said, Pixie, how are you killing me with the dumps here? I said, you're dumping out stuff that's not even remotely obscene.
Right.
And she just looked at me and said... That's what she said, and she went to the office and she shut the door. Now, I categorized it as a slam. She later
Did she
told
me, shut it in your face?
Well, I was standing, walking behind her, and as I approached the door, she just shut the door in my face.
Right.
So, right before the show, this was about a half hour ago, right before the show, I stuck my head in the door again, and I said, hey, listen, Pixie, you understand, I'm not yelling at you, I'm not mad, it's just, you can't delete out stuff
that's not obscene. If you say don't take a gift ticket in the mouth,
right?
You know, don't, or whatever we said, don't dump that out. And then I got the total breakdown.
Oh no!
Where she starts the crying, and she's like, "They change the rules every day."
Well, that's true.
And I don't want to take away your First Amendment rights.
That's sad. I feel bad for her.
And I don't like this job, and I don't know.
You're having trouble handling that.
Please don't cry. Listen, don't cry. It was a simple, I said, listen, please, just, how about today? Just, I'll run the dumb button, and if anything happens, I'll take the heat for it. No, this is my job. The last 2 days have just been.
You got the big tears coming.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get it just from you. She gets it from upper management, too.
Listen, it's not like I went in there and you called her names or yelled at her. No. I just said, the lightheartedly, as a pixie, you're killing me with the... With the dumps.
She's got a lot of pressure. I would imagine that's an extremely difficult job to do.
She was at the breaking
point. Because on the one hand, she says, hey, don't let them get away with this. You're the last line of defense. And then on the other hand, she's got us trying to do the show here. I mean, that is a...
I can't
imagine a job that would be more sucky.
Mm-mm. Well, she should... I don't know, she should take vitamins or she should drink or do something before the show.
That's an idea, drink.
Yeah. But, the poor girl is up there just bawling. I mean, I'm standing there like, what? I'm just... Stop crying.
That's tough.
I said, why are you crying? This is your First Amendment rights. And I said, oh, God, okay. I'm just sorry I mentioned anything about it. Just please watch it today. Just watch it. So this is a nutty goddamn place to work. You got the general manager hotlining Rob, saying he doesn't like whatever Rob's running on the best of. You got the dumb girl dumping out stuff that's not even dirty. And
it's insane.
I say something to her about it. She's falling apart upstairs, having a freaking nervous breakdown.
It's crazy.
It's zany.
Is she okay? Well, what's her phone number?
I don't know.
What's Katie's phone number?
Hold on.
Pixie. If I was, Buzz, will you find her phone number out for me, please?
And when you get done, Todd, speaking of crazy,
9.
I've got to tell you something about Penn Station tomorrow. I mean, today. That happened yesterday. There we go. I got the timeline. Speaking of crazy.
All right, hold on.
This is Kate.
Kate,
is everything all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you done crying?
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay, honey.
You're in a pressure cooker, Kate. We understand.
Just don't cry. I mean,
yell. You got to see the Kate Forbes show today.
Okay. I mean, honey, yell, scream, throw stuff. I can handle all that, but the crying.
I threw stuff once and I got in lots of trouble for it, so I don't think I should do that again.
You did what?
I threw stuff once and I got in lots of trouble for it.
Oh, really? Who'd you throw stuff at?
Charlie and I got in a little
spat. Well, now, he's a good one. I've thrown stuff at Charlie a lot.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's healthy.
That's okay. And listen, I would urge you, I think in the recesses of the bowels of what you were going through there, I the feeling I got was that your gut instinct is correct. You don't want to take away our First Amendment rights. And I would urge you, as you ride the dump button with the goddamn infinity sensors, I would urge you to look into your heart and look into your soul as you make the decisions.
What if my heart is broken?
Oh. Now listen, we're going to do a little test right now.
Wop, 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 wop.
We're going to do a test and trust, okay? You ever see the movie Entrapment? Sean Connery says, first we try,
right,
then we trust.
And if you can't do it right, I'm going to throw you out the window.
Now, what I'm going to do is say something that is so foul and so obscene, there is no way it could be broadcast. But you must trust me that I will hit the delay button. You cannot hit the delay button.
I don't know about this game.
This is a scary game.
Now listen. First we try, then we trust. Mm-hmm. Okay? Did you promise me that you will not hit? I'm saying, if it gets out on the radio, it's on me. It's not on you. It's on me.
Oh, dear.
Okay? Now, Katie?
Yeah?
I want you to stand away from the dump button. And I want you to watch this now. Watch. I'm going to say it, then I'm going to hit the dump button. Okay, now, don't you have a machine up there that shows you if I hit the dump button?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
The first we try, then we trust. Now, for everybody listening at home, well, I think the only people who are going to be able to hear this are people on hold.
Okay, so you're not going to hear anything for the next few seconds.
Let me see. Hello, who's this? Apollo?
Yes.
From Jersey City?
Yes.
Now, you hear pre-delay. I want you to hold on for just a moment.
All right.
And come back on and tell everybody. Don't tell them what I said, but you can verify that what I said was filthy and raw and could not be broadcast.
No problem.
Okay, hold on. First we try, then we trust. Oh, I hung up on Katie. What's her phone number?
889. Oh, dear. She didn't take it off the hook, did she?
Oh, Katie, come on now.
Oh, no.
Oh, Katie, how are we going to do the experiment if I can't? I didn't mean to hang up on you, honey. Hold on a second.
It was an accident.
Ah, here we go.
All right. Here we go. Begin experiment.
This is Kate.
Okay, you ready?
I had the phone in my hand. I don't know why I forgot to hang it up.
All right, honey, here's the experiment now. Don't you hit the dump button. I'm going to do it, okay?
Okay.
Watch this. Now, I'm going to count. Mike, give me a countdown, and I'm going to say
10, 9, 8, 7,
29, 28.
No, I'm sorry. 5, 4.
You're doing what's her name from Austin Powers.
Yeah, sorry. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. The delay, Kate?
Katie?
Yeah.
You see that?
And you didn't hit it.
You didn't get it all.
What do you mean I didn't get it all?
No, I have a monitor up here. You didn't get it all.
Wait, hold on. Honey, I got 15 seconds.
Huh?
Turn down your radio for a minute. I got 15 seconds.
No, you dumped out 4 seconds at a time.
Oh, we dump out 4 seconds at a time?
So in other words, I just have to say something vile within 4 seconds and hit the dump myself?
Exactly.
Okay, let's try it again. Here we go, now.
All right, has it caught up yet?
No. Yours hasn't and mine hasn't.
Well, my dump button is still lit, though.
Okay, well, it lights back up when it gets back up to, like, 5, I think.
All right, hold on a second. I'll come back.
So you have to do a brief one.
Hold on.
At least 4.
Hold on a second. Let me go back to Apollo from Jersey City. Apollo, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Pretty foul, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Not fit for public consumption, was it?
No, it was not.
I wish I could do a show like that, though.
It would be great if you could.
Our ratings would be through the roof. Hold on, Apollo. All right, Katie, are we built up now?
Yeah, you're at 784, yes.
All right, here we go. Now watch this. I'm going to do it in record time, and then I'm going to hit the dump button myself. You don't have to worry.
Read the line from the Madonna concert when she's mad at her sound man.
Oh, no, I got something else I'd like to say.
Okay, very good. 5, 4, 3.
Wow!
Get under the
How
wire.
Was that one? How was that one?
Oh, did he get it all, Kate?
I don't know.
Buzz, how many seconds went by?
That was 2.5 seconds out of the 4 you had.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, so he got it. So you trust him now?
Sure.
All right,
very good.
That's not the stuff that like is hard.
I know. It's
totally
the grayer.
I know that you guys will get any yucky words.
Katie, let's talk about hard.
What's
hard, Katie? I know it's hard.
It's very difficult.
Hard, rock hard.
Bread.
All right, goodbye. Just don't cry anymore, okay?
I won't. I'm sorry. You caught me at a bad moment.
Okay, I just wanted to have a lighthearted conversation with
She's
you.
She's in the pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm. There she is, the crying pixie.
Oh, dear.
All right, bye-bye, Katie.
Bye, Kate.
Bye-bye. There bye, she is.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Poor girl. Hey, Apollo?
Yes.
All right, you heard it all, Apollo.
Oh, yes, I did.
He was there. He heard it all.
All right, let me tell you what happened to me at Penn Station.
Okay, hold on, Apollo. Hold on.
I mean, there's a lesson to be learned here. The lesson to be learned here that I thought I learned years ago was always look at who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. Don't look with peripheral vision. Make sure you know who you're talking to. I went to the train station yesterday, and I wanted to upgrade my ticket. And I had extra time, so I stood in the line for the train tickets. And as I'm standing in the line, this woman came in back of me, and she said, oh, she's going, oh. Oh, and she says, my back hurts. And I make the tragic mistake I found out of initiating conversation by saying, I can relate to that. I've had a bad back for quite a while. At that point, she went into a speech about her health problems. And I was in this line for 25 minutes. This line, the entire time I'm in this line, she did not stop talking. And it would have been fine until I noticed the hospital band on her wrist.
Oh, really?
The celebrity she most resembled was a combination. She looked like, really, Cheryl the Big Dyke if Cheryl had put her finger in a light socket.
Wow.
With her. It was Cheryl the Big Dyke with Marty Feldman hair.
Hey, about hair?
Yes. My hair is all messed up today.
Did you not?
I forgot my hairbrush and I had the top down today.
Okay.
And so my hair is totally messed up.
Okay, all right.
This woman truly freaked you out, didn't she?
This woman freaked me out as bad as anybody freaked. It was one of those deals where you're trapped in this line and she's going on,
let me tell you right now, the procedures are awful. But, you know, if you have back pain.
And then she starts to give me advice and I'm trying to be polite. And you're looking around at all the other people who are looking at me saying, look at the conversation you're in right now. But it didn't get real weird until she's talking about the procedure that she has done. She said, I have to tell you, though, what helped me, what saved my life with my back, I'll tell you right now. And I just, come here. And I'm like, hey. And I got an arm touch. And I really start, I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, that's when I'm going,
like that. Take the train, Mike.
She said, you know what really helped? When this lady, when she manipulated my pubic bone. And I go,
get me out of here, please, God. She's talking about her pubic bone.
When you called me yesterday on the cell phone, it truly sounded like someone had just, like, given you shock therapy.
Yes.
You were like,
I was
freaked out.
I have something to tell you tomorrow. How you doing? Did you guys make it?
That's exactly how it
You know why I called? I realized why I called. I called you because I just wanted a familiar voice. I was so freaked out by this woman. And it was, she was sitting there. And then, it was only after the pubic bone comment that I see the little hospital band, and I'm not sure whether it's like a regular hospital or...
No, it's like Bellevue.
Yeah, I mean,
this place.
It was nonstop.
Nothing works here.
And sure enough, I finally get the ticket counter open. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to be free of this woman. And she is still talking to me.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work.
Right. Then I ran. Then I ran away and it was fine. Never saw her again.
My pubic bone.
Wow. Yay!
Manipulated my pubic bone. Pubic bone.
I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here.
Right.
I hate this place.
Right. Me too.
Freaked me out.
Hey, Apollo.
Yes.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Couple of things. You didn't introduce Buzz.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did. I didn't introduce him. I said hi to him.
That's good enough. Thank you, Apollo.
And Katie, she sounds cute.
She is. She's a cute little pixie.
Oh, she sounds real cute.
She is.
Are you doing Elvis today?
Oh, yes. We're going to start the Elvis Death Show momentarily, I think.
Oh, well, I want to help you out with starting it off. My aunt is a huge Elvis fan.
Where she live?
She lives in Jersey City as well, but she lives across the town.
Okay. And huge. Does she have Elvis memorabilia?
Yes, she does. She has a clock, comforters, pillowcases. Every time his shows come on TV, she's watching them 24 hours a day.
All right, well, you call your mom right now and you tell her turn the radio to 102.7.
All right.
WNEW, because she's going to hear the best Elvis tribute show she's ever heard today.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Apollo.
That's great.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
See you later, dude. Yes, in fact, today is the day.
Yes, get ready to laugh, get ready to cry.
Elvis is dead. Mike, this marks our 16th annual Elvis Death Day show.
We have done 16 of these shows. We've done them from Memphis. We have done them from Washington, D.C. It is a special tribute to Elvis.
Yes.
The king of rock and roll.
So stand by for action. Well, we'll start with the TCBOs.
Fine.
Today we're going to be... it's going to be... EP and EP, we're going to be called to the Elvis Presley Jr. Psychic Network today.
Very exciting.
Normally I don't like outlining everything we're going to do on the show, but I really think you should stay tuned today that we're going to have among your Elvis favorites, the sexually retarded Elvis.
And the Elvis material after all these years, it resembles medical charts now.
Elvis and the machine gun.
Right.
Elvis's autopsy. Elvis's monkey named Scatter.
Scatter the monkey.
Elvis eats peaches and popsicles. Elvis loves baby talk.
Right.
Elvis goes hunting for donkeys and ducks and turkeys. Elvis drug use. Clumsily sexual Elvis. Elvis nude.
this year. Elvis's foot odor.
Wow.
And, of course, our calls to Graceland. We've been banned from Graceland. We're the only disc jockeys in the world. They actually have our name.
Right.
At the front desk of Graceland saying we are not to be admitted.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember the fond memories from Graceland when we went down there and actually saw the stone walls surrounding the mansion where the graffiti was written. And
yes.
In one small stone, Elvis cured my hemorrhoids.
Do you remember the message you left on the wall?
What's that?
Mike O'Mara, I'm naked without cash.
And if we have time today, the Hamburger James story. So,
wow, what a show.
Oh, we got the Elvis tapes.
Wow.
We got Elvis dropping the F-bomb. Of course, we're going to give you the great Elvis. It will fascinate you.
It will fascinate you.
Yeah, rip your throat up by the roots.
So please, come into the light.
Now let's get a call 100. Because I wonder if you lonesome tonight. Be the 100th caller right now. 877-365-3636. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
His friends say Elvis did anything to get more drugs, resorting even to self-mutilation.
He's got his foot on the examining stool, and there's a hole as big as a quarter. He was digging in his foot, and he looked at me and he says, I ought to get some good stuff with this.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey. Smells like dog food. The Don and Mike Show.
Our lead story, Elvis is still dead. Welcome to the Elvis Death Day Show. Hello.
No one else.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, hello 100.
Yeah, right. What's your name?
Wayne.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm from Woodbridge.
You, my friend, tickets to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And that's great because David Crosby is most likely to end up like Elvis Presley, right?
Amen.
CSNN, Merriweather Post Pavilion, Sunday, August 19th. Tickets still available. Enjoy, my friend.
But in all seriousness, who would have thunk that David Crosby would still be alive today?
Yeah.
Well, much less fathering a lesbian's baby.
Yes, he's beating the odds. Well, with his monkey intestines or his monkey...
Liver.
His monkey kidney, that's what he's got.
Is it a kidney or a liver?
No, I think you're right. I think it was a liver.
Liver, donated liver.
Can we have your liver then? Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Hold on a second. Mike, we do have some new stuff this year on the Elvis Death Day Show.
I'm aware of that.
I'm going to start with just three brief Elvis facts.
All right.
And later we're going to reflect back on this in the show, and you have a chance to win a prize if you can tell me, for instance, here's a fact I'm going to throw out.
Okay, an Elvis factoid.
For one stretch of 2 years, Elvis ate nothing but meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and tomatoes.
For 2 years. See, I didn't know that.
That's all he ate.
Surprised you didn't know that.
Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, tomatoes. His idol was General Douglas MacArthur.
I didn't know that either.
And
I shall return. Man.
Elvis had memorized every line of dialogue from one movie.
I think I know what that is.
Patton.
Yeah. I knew that.
All right, so there's your Elvis trivia. Now, an Elvis quiz.
Rommel, you magnificent bastard, I read your book.
All right, Mike?
Yes.
Elvis' friends learned not to show pain around him. Why not? A, because Elvis hated weaklings.
Mm-hmm.
B, because he would cry if a friend was hurt.
Right.
Or C, because he thought he had the power to cure the sick. You know the answer to this one.
C, because he thought he had the power to cure the sick.
That's right.
He was a mastermind.
That's absolutely right. Elvis thought he could heal the sick, for example. One time, Dean Nicolopoulos, son of Dr. Nick, injured his leg sledding in the snow.
Hey.
Now, this is one we haven't heard before.
Right.
It hurt so bad that he thought it was broken.
I'm a healer.
Elvis's bodyguard recalls, old psychic healer Elvis comes along. He starts laying on the hands.
Yeah, the laying of the hands, man.
Grabbing the boy's leg.
I can help.
Meanwhile, the little boy is nearly passing out with pain. Later in the hospital, the doctor told Elvis and his friends that the leg was only bruised, not broken.
That's right, man. It was broken before I touched it, though.
When Elvis heard from the doctor that the leg was not broken, he gave one of his satisfied know-it-all smiles.
Yes, that's right. I healed the bone.
He was taking credit for the fact that the leg was not broken.
Sure. Yeah, I healed it right down to the bone, man.
Mike, the king was a big eater.
Yes, he was.
Take breakfast, for example. Elvis usually ate
a pound of bacon,
yes,
six scrambled eggs, a platter of butter-soaked biscuits with sausage, and pots of black coffee to wash it down with.
Can't imagine why that colon was impacted.
Occasionally, though, Elvis experimented with new diets,
right,
like the time he developed an interest in being a vegetarian.
I'm a vegan.
How long did Elvis's vegetarian phase last?
24 hours.
I've got three answers for you.
Oh, okay.
Was it 2 days?
Uh-huh.
2 hours?
Right.
Or 2 months?
2 days.
2 days. Well, let me see. 2 hours. After what, the brownies, the ice cream, the chicken fried steak, the burgers, Elvis ate only fresh, nutritious, healthy foods for 2 hours.
2 hours. God. Man, that was a hell of a diet. I am famished.
Elvis liked TV.
This is a great new quiz here.
Yeah. Elvis liked TV, but he hated the show The Streets of San Francisco.
Right.
We made goddamn sure that The Streets of San Francisco was never on when Elvis was around, his bodyguard said. I promise you, Elvis was likely to pull out a gun and blow the set out if it had come on the screen.
That'll be enough of that S.
What was the reason Elvis hated the show The Streets of San Francisco? Was it he didn't like Carl Malden's nose, he didn't like the sponsor, or he didn't like the character's name?
I'll say he didn't like Carl Malden's nose.
No, I am sorry.
Yeah, I'm wrong about that one.
Elvis hated the show because Carl Malden's character was named Mike Stone.
Why did he hate that? When
Priscilla left Elvis, she left him for a karate instructor named Mike Stone.
Karate. Kara means hand.
Tay.
Tay means whatever.
What is it, Rob?
Kara means open, and Tay means hand.
Karate.
Oh, sorry, man. It's like karate or kung fu.
Even
karate.
Though it's a rather common name, apparently the guy would come on and say Mike Stone, and I would turn that ass off, man.
Mike Stone, I hate that.
That's the guy who left me.
It's a good quiz, though.
Mm-hmm. Elvis hated dieting and exercise. And often asked his doctor, Dr. Nick, about other methods of losing weight. One night, Dr. Nick mentioned the possibility of an intestinal bypass.
Oh, God, Dr. Nick, who would have carved Elvis up right till the end.
An intestinal bypass that would cause food to pass through Elvis's body before it was completely digested.
Right.
What was Elvis's reaction? He said he wanted the operation that night.
Mm-hmm.
He was so grossed out he threw up. He said he didn't want the operation himself, but wanted to watch Dr. Nick perform it on someone else.
Bingo! That's the answer right there. Get one of the Memphis Mafia. Get him to do it on Lamar Fike.
Yes, that's right. Let me see. Elvis had one of his boys go to a fast food place in the neighborhood, sneak back with bacon cheeseburger, fried potatoes, eat, and then go under the knife.
Oh, God!
Oh. To experiment with the surgery.
Unbelievable. Like the Emperor.
Love that, Elvis. In 1961, a friend of Elvis's on the Memphis police force died. What odd request did Elvis have? He wanted to sing Hound Dog as they lowered the coffin into the grave. He wanted to watch the mortician embalm the dog. He wanted to prop his friend's body up in a police car and drive around Memphis with the sirens and lights on.
He wanted to watch the embalming.
Let me see. Hold on a second. Wow. Elvis loved mortuaries.
Yeah, Elvis.
When his friend on the police force died, the king wanted to be there at the mortuary when they worked on him.
Sure.
Elvis was sad, but you know what he did, man? He watched the mortician embalm his friend.
Right.
Can you imagine that? Someone watching someone else slicing into the body of a friend? Elvis could tell us details about embalming that would impress a doctor.
Hey, man, I'm a man if I come down to the autopsy room.
Elvis once met country singer Jimmy Dean. Hey, how did he greet him? He pulled out a gun and stuck it against his head. He complained that you don't look anything like your cousin James Dean. Or he started running around, snorting and mooing.
Elvis loved guns, so I'm going to say he put a gun to his head.
Good job. A friend recalls, Jimmy Dean, a nice guy, was working for him one night. Elvis came out of his bedroom after keeping Jimmy out there for an hour. Jimmy greeted Elvis with a big hello and said, I ought to rip a yard out of your ass. You keep me waiting. Elvis whipped out his .22 and stuck it under Jimmy's chin and said,
Oh, it'll blow your effing head off for talking to me like that.
Wow. There you go. Just a couple of old country boys.
Being asked to perform for the president of the White House is one of the biggest honors a musician can receive.
This is Nixon.
Elvis was once asked to play at a party thrown by Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out because they insisted Elvis wear a business suit. His manager said Elvis doesn't play for free, or conservatives threatened to boycott if Elvis showed up.
I'd say conservatives threatened to boycott.
No. Mike, you're not doing your homework. You know Colonel Tom.
Colonel Tom Parker, you didn't want him to play for free.
Elvis doesn't play, not even for the president, for free. Demanded $25,000.
Wow, that's incredible.
Bring him down. Elvis is the only person we've ever heard of who actually died while reading in the bathroom. You know this, on the toilet. What was he reading? A book about Nostradamus. A book about the Shroud of Turin. Uncle John's bathroom reader.
A book about the Shroud of Turin.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the scientific search for the face of Jesus, the Shroud of Turin book by Frank Adams.
And much speculation about what he was reading. That's supposedly what it is confirmed now, that he was reading a book about Jesus, when in fact, it varied anything from tabloids to dirty magazines.
Oh, yeah, we've heard even gay porno.
Yeah, gay porno, all sorts of stuff like that, before they knocked his teeth out.
Oh, because you know when Elvis died, he was choking on his own vomit, and when they arrived there, and he was face down on the shag carpeting, in order to try to get him to breathe, they took a hammer and actually broke out his teeth.
Yeah.
And not only that, because he fell off the toilet, slumped down face first into the carpet, he got extremely discolored, and the original call from the ambulance into the hospital was overweight African-American patient.
Because his face was such the wrong color.
Yeah, he was
purple.
Dark purple.
Wow. Very interesting.
Well, guys, let's start the Elvis show the only way we know how, and I hope everybody in Radioland will do the same now as we take the TCB oath.
Everybody stand up, please.
This is something that Elvis... one thing about the Elvis show, we don't make this crap up.
No, this is... he just keeps on giving.
This is an oath that Elvis wrote for the guys in the Memphis Mafia to take. He wrote this in 1971 on a plane from Los Angeles to Memphis. And I'm going to read it to you now as Elvis wrote it on a napkin and asked you to repeat after me. This is Elvis's official TCB oath.
Everybody say it together.
More self-respect.
More self-respect.
More respect for fellow man.
More respect for fellow man.
Respect for fellow students.
Respect for fellow students. Rob, you better come on microphone.
And instructors.
And instructors.
Respect for all styles and techniques.
Respect for all styles and techniques, man.
Body conditioning.
Body conditioning.
Mental conditioning.
Mental conditioning.
Meditation for calming.
Meditation for calming.
And stealing of the mind and body.
And stealing for the mind. Mind and body.
Bobby. Sharpen your skills.
Sharpen your skills.
Increase mental awareness.
Increase mental awareness.
For all those who might choose.
For all those who might choose.
A new outlook in personal philosophy.
A new outlook in personal philosophy.
Freedom from constipation.
Freedom from constipation.
TCB technique.
TCB technique.
All techniques into one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Elvis Presley, AIDS.
Elvis Presley, AIDS.
Applying all techniques into one.
Applying all techniques into one.
And I know we say this every year, but we're going to repeat this, that the part about constipation,
right,
not a gag, Elvis wrote it. And the reason that it says Elvis Presley the Eighth is not because he thought he was like Henry the Eighth, I am. It's because he allegedly had an eighth degree black belt in karate.
Karate, and you've seen the movies. Anybody that's seen the Elvis, that movie that's out all over cable where he's wrestling with his bodyguards in the robes.
All right. Now that we've taken the oath, I think this year we're going to go past Elvis's pantry. We're going to wait till later in the show.
Very good.
For the items that Elvis demanded be kept in his pantry at all time. We're going to go right to some of our favorite Elvis stuff.
Hey.
And let me see. Mike, you got to take the quiz. So, Buzz, I'll let you pick our first Elvis story today.
Okay, good.
We can either have the story of Elvis drinking cough syrup out of champagne glasses.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can't beat that one. The flash bulbs in the pool story.
Bravo. Also good.
Or Scatter the Monkey.
Scatter the Monkey. Hey, you know, I think it's going to have to be Scatter the Monkey.
Scatter the Monkey. Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. I got to find it here.
Nice. Scatter.
Christ, 238.
I don't think a lot of people know this story.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, you've listened to the annual Elvis Death Day shows here.
So many different stories, all good.
Hey, Rob?
Yeah. You know, it was Elvis Presley completely out of control. You know, it was what? Elvis Presley being able to do whatever he wanted to
Where's
do.
Scatter the Monkey.
Completely deluded.
Wait a minute, I found the champagne glass thing. Hold on. Drug use, Elvis at the morgue, flashbulbs and pools. You didn't select that one.
No.
Elvis meets Danny Thomas, Dirty Home Movies.
What page was scattered? Does it say
258.
I'll get it for you.
Okay, you got it?
I'll get it.
Champagne glass full of cough syrup would be my second choice.
A great one. Go with that one. We'll do the scatter one next.
Yeah.
He's already found the champagne glass thing.
There you go. Right.
Hold on a second. Elvis's flashlight. Bear with me. Flashbulbs and pools.
We have volumes. We have volumes that we're pouring through in our Elvis files.
All of it killer good.
Jesus Christ. Well, now I lost that, too.
Oh, no.
All right, that's fine. We find it, Rob.
Absolutely.
You know, we had too much stuff. We had Elvis on constipation.
Volume, right.
Constipation was a big part of his life.
Mm-hmm. Elvis loves guns. Elvis on hallucinations. Sexually retarded Elvis. Elvis in football.
You guys look like you're researching. You look like Aaron Brockovich in the water treatment center.
Okay, here we go. Here's the cough syrup and champagne glass story.
Very good.
Buzz's second choice. We'll get to Scatter the Monkey in a second.
They're all good.
Okay, here we go. Sit back, everybody. Elvis is still dead. Marty Lacker says 1971. That was the year the overdoses started.
It's just, I mean, you start a story like that. That was the year the overdoses started.
The worst one happened after a show at Tahoe. Elvis saw this girl in the second row, and he was really taken with her. She was a teenager. Real innocent. A non-drinker, a non-smoker. Didn't even wear makeup. She was crazy about Elvis. She and her mom drove to Elvis drove to Vegas to see Elvis, and her mom was there at the Tahoe show. Elvis waved to her at the stage, and after the show, he told Sonny to bring her backstage.
Bring her back, man.
She sent her mom home, and she stayed with Elvis that night, and actually for quite a bit of his engagement. He would give her pills so she could keep up his hours.
Wow.
One night after the show, they went to Palm Springs. Elvis was taking Hycodan, which is a narcotic cough syrup. In large doses. That stuff is dangerous. Okay, now you gotta get right. This is the best mental picture of all.
This is a prescription strength cough syrup.
Right. Yes.
That's just knocking him on his ass.
Elvis and the 13-year-old girl were drinking it out of champagne glasses.
13 years old?
Oh my God. A toast to you, my dear.
Oh, my God.
You're a lovely girl. Would you like more cough syrup?
Elvis Aaron Presley.
Okay.
King of rock and roll.
Hold on a second. They were drinking out of champagne glasses. They didn't go to bed until 4 a.m., and when they did, they took their bottle of Hydocan with them. By 1 o'clock the next day, Elvis wasn't up.
Is it Hycodan?
Hycodan.
Okay.
What did I say?
Hydocan.
Hycodan.
That's the Japanese version.
Elvis wasn't up by 1 o'clock. Sonny banged on the door. When Elvis didn't answer, he went inside. It was like a meat locker in this. Elvis kept the temperature so low in his room. Sonny said Elvis was sprawled across the bed lengthways and his breathing was erratic. Sonny freaked out and went and got Hamburger James. It took a while, but eventually they got Elvis up and slapped him back to consciousness. Then Elvis took some Ritalin and came out of it. The young girl was another story. She was in much worse shape. They couldn't slap her awake, and she barely had a pulse. They phoned Dr. Kaplan, and he came up and called an ambulance. He was shocked at how far she was gone, and he warned him she probably wouldn't make it. She was already turning blue.
Oh, no.
Elvis was telling him what to do. Hey, Doc, just give her a shot of Ritalin. She'll pop right out of it.
Oh, God.
I think everyone was pretty disgusted by that. But he used to hand out Ritalin tablets to all of us in the late 60s.
Ritalin?
Elvis was just Ritalin nuts. He thought no matter how bad you got, that's all you needed. And it was also a good way to wake up in the morning.
Good morning. Where's my Ritalin?
I need it, man.
Charlie was also there, and he and Sonny followed the ambulance to the hospital. They pumped the little girl's stomach and hooked her up to life support.
Right.
But Dr. Kaplan was saying he didn't think she'd live. Elvis waved it off. He said, I've told her not to drink so much of that.
Oh, no. Elvis.
is so far gone.
Told her not to drink so much of
the cough syrup.
Lycodam.
Yeah, the narcotic cough syrup out of champagne glass.
Drinking it like a beverage.
I told her not to drink so much of that. He went to the bedroom and called Colonel Parker and John O'Grady and Dick Grobe to make sure that the Palm Springs police stayed out of it and it didn't hit the papers. And then they came up with this plan that if she did die, Charlie would take the rap. He'd say that he was with her and he'd given her the stuff. Well, something like 17 hours later, the girl finally came to. Charlie and Sonny went to the hospital, and Sonny said when he touched her arm, she came halfway across the bed and started hissing at him like a wild animal. It scared the SHI out of him. The doctor later said she was suffering from oxygen deprivation to the brain.
Oh, my God.
Elvis paid her hospital bill, and he had given Joe money to get in touch with the mom and pay her off. But now listen to this. This is why this is a beautiful story.
Right.
The mother would never take anything.
Right.
She said she'd never sue Elvis. They loved Elvis, and they didn't want to hurt Elvis's image.
Oh, my God. Wow. Those were the days.
God damn, I love the Elvis show.
Elvis Presley, ladies and gentlemen.
I truly do.
Hey, man, I told her not to drink so much of that stuff.
Where's my Ritalin?
Where's my Ritalin? That'll wake you. Give her a shot. That'll pop her out of it.
Good morning. Now, listen, let's have a toast to you, my 13-year-old girlfriend.
Here's some Hicodin.
Let's clink our glasses and do that thing where we entwine our arms as we pour the cough syrup in each other's mouth.
In the morning, we'll get Ritalin and pancakes.
Man. I told her not to drink so much.
Man, oh, man. Come on, Doc. Can't you give her a shot of Ritalin?
And then how about the mom? Oh, no, we could never accept any money. And don't worry, we will never tell anybody because Elvis is the king.
Signed, the mother of the year.
Okay, all right. That's a good one. Elvis tapes, Scatter the Monkey. Oh, and Mike, we will be making our annual call to Graceland.
Yes, we'll see how long it'll last.
To see how much we're still hated down there.
All right.
The Elvis Presley Jr. Hotline, stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
By 1977, the sex symbol was overweight, his body failing him. Increasingly isolated and paranoid, Elvis retreated behind the walls of Graceland. He began pushing away even those who were closest to him. And the few who remained in his inner circle say they were powerless to help him.
We even got down one night and filled his pills with sugar to make sure that we got that he wouldn't get them.
His body was just no longer going with him. I mean, he had problems. He had a twisted colon. He had a liver disease.
And according to his former pals, Elvis wasn't even bathing regularly, relying on pills that people often take for medical reasons to reduce body odor.
And he would take those. He thought those worked perfect, you know. Rather take a bath, he could take two of those, you know, and sponge off real quick.
Your source for hot gay action, the Don and Mike Show.
Now, I know that there's radio stations across America, the Oldies 100,
right.
Here in D.C. and CBS FM and New York and San Francisco KFRC. They're all doing their big goddamn tributes to Elvis. But I'm telling you, this is the truest, most honest tribute to Elvis you're going to find on the radio today.
Yes, and make no mistake, we love Elvis.
We do.
And we also, you know, we also think that Elvis showed what American stardom is really all about.
Elvis keeps on giving.
He does indeed.
For a long time, we would go to Memphis. We would broadcast from Memphis. We would be there for the midnight celebration, people lighting the candles.
Right.
One year, we got in a fight down there. We got the melee in Memphis.
We met a great friend who's no longer with us, Major Bill Smith, who was with us down in Memphis many times.
And the last time we were in Memphis was our greatest ever Elvis show, when we snuck our wireless microphones. We got in line for the tour, the Graceland tour, on Elvis' death day.
Right.
And Mike and I broadcast live from Elvis's grave.
Something you're not supposed to do.
And do you remember? They had a giant body of Elvis.
That right, with the tiny little head.
Like a Beetlejuice-sized head. You know, at the end of Beetlejuice when his head gets real little?
Right.
We had this gigantic, like, cutout body that was made of flowers, like something you see in a Rose Bowl parade.
Uh-huh. And it was really out of proportion. And we started to laugh.
The body was gigantic, and the head was about, like, someone had cut a picture out of Elvis.
Yeah, it was a picture that was sitting there surrounded by flowers, and then the body was made out of flowers, but the picture was, like, cut out of a magazine, so you had this tiny little Elvis head, and we started laughing, and that's when the security guys started pursuing us.
Yeah, and that's when we were officially banned from Graceland.
Wow. Right.
We are banned, as a matter of fact, from all the stores across the street from Graceland, from souvenirs of Elvis, memories of Elvis.
Elvis Lee Yours.
Yes, Elvis Lee Yours. Elvis Presley Liquors.
Yeah, even the diner there, they wouldn't let us in. No.
We're going to call plenty of those places on today's show for the Elvis Death Day show.
Good.
I don't know if we've ever gone through this before. Let me just give you another quick Elvis Death Day fact.
Okay.
Then in the last 3 years of his life, I have, according to court records, the total number of amphetamines, sedatives, and narcotics that Elvis was prescribed...
By Dr. Nick. Okay.
In 1975, he was prescribed 1,296 amphetamines, 1,891 sedatives...
This is in 1 year.
And only 910 narcotics.
Hey, that's pretty good.
In 1976... the number jumps to 1,790 amphetamines.
Wow, he's getting more.
2,680 sedatives.
Now, you know, you think 365 days in a year.
Right.
So think about the amount of drugs he's taking.
Ooh. Do the math. And 1,059 narcotics. So, Buzz, from year 75 to 76, the amphetamines nearly doubled.
Well, 500, about a third more in amphetamines, but the sedatives doubled.
Okay, and the narcotics?
The narcotics, the 10 times as many.
All right, now let's go to the last year of his life. And keep in mind, the last year is like 61 with the asterisk.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah,
like Roger Maris.
The full year.
Yeah, he died in August.
Right, August of 77.
But up until August of 77, he had been prescribed 2,372 amphetamines.
He was liking them more and more.
4,996 sedatives.
Now, Dr. Nick's the guy that should have gone. Did Dr. Nick go to jail?
No.
He never did any jail time, right?
No.
And 2,019 narcotics.
I mean, in that period of time, that's incredible.
But as a great nod of support to our American justice system, they almost got him for tax evasion once.
Hey, they're
almost.
So, Buzz, you're over there doing the math. What was the, what's the percentage of increase over the 3 years?
Well, over those 3 years, the amphetamines doubled, basically. Four times as many sedatives. They quadrupled. And, 200% more narcotics in that 3 year period.
Narcotics, you're talking generically about narcotics, but you have to consider the fact that Elvis had hospital-grade narcotics, like the type of things that you'd get out of an IV.
Yeah, he had the best stuff.
I mean, he had stuff like liquid Demerol, stuff you really wouldn't get prescribed for an average patient.
He didn't have bad horse.
No.
Thankfully.
Did you know Elvis would go to great length to get pills? You heard the tape. One time he dug a hole in his foot under the guise of taking out an ingrown toenail. Did you know when Elvis was with Priscilla, she was 7 months pregnant, Elvis told her he wanted a separation. He didn't want to be a father. Did you know one of Elvis's homes had a two-way mirror?
I knew that.
So they could spy on guys making out with their girlfriend.
That was Graceland, man.
Did you know that Elvis said he'd be goddamned if his daughter would ever marry a black?
You know, that two-way mirror was probably out in L.A. Didn't he have a house out in L.A. that had the two-way mirror?
That's right.
Elvis gave blacks all the credit in the world when it came to music, but he thought the races should be separate when it comes to love and marriage.
Yeah, well, you know, Southern bigot, absolutely.
Wow. Did you know that Elvis slept in bed with his mother until he was 13?
Very unusual.
Did you know that when Elvis was on tour, don't we have a story about that, about Elvis sleeping with his mommy somewhere?
You know, the story about the cotton panties.
And dancing.
The one about the panties.
Yeah, and the one about how he had his room, like, all in pink.
That's the Oh My Peter story.
Yeah, Oh My Peter.
Oh My Peter.
Oh My Peter.
Where they were dancing around, and Elvis was just saying, Oh My Peter.
became aroused as a small child
right.
with his mom.
Oh, my Peter.
Great.
His mom and, like, his
Peter.
Will you find that, Rob?
Sure.
When Elvis was on tour, one of the younger guys in the group would put aluminum foil on the windows, so it would always be dark. Elvis liked it like that. It was just a necessity so he could sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They fixed his bed, got all his stuff unpacked, and turned the thermostat down to 50, which was Elvis's preferred temperature.
That'll match his body temperature from the drugs.
In the mid-70s, Elvis started using a synthetic heroin.
There you go. There's your horse.
Oh. Elvis would take it with a needle or by pill, but he wouldn't inject it himself because that's what junkies did.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members of the group would shoot it into his hip.
Yeah, absolutely. Into his hip, right there, man.
As much as Elvis loved Lisa, he didn't want to share the attention. Elvis would say, "Now, Daddy's talking, Lisa. You go out and play." He never wanted his daughter to upstage him.
Right.
Elvis began to have trouble controlling his bladder and bowels. Not all the time, but often. On tour, one of the group would have to check Elvis's bed every morning before they left the hotel.
It would
be embarrassing if it got out that Elvis said,
"Hey, Elvis, you left a cigar in the bed."
Oh. Elvis was in the hospital 5 times the last 7 years of his life, always for detox under the guise of other things. A detective was hired to find out where Elvis was getting his drugs. The list of suppliers included 3 doctors and a dentist. They all were approached and pressured to stop supplying Elvis, but to no avail. If it hadn't been for Elvis's mafia, he would have died 3 years earlier. 5 or 6 times he got so messed up he almost died. He gets shot full of Ritalin and have to be brought around.
I'll bring it up.
The first time was in Vegas in 74. He had to get a shot of Ritalin straight into his heart.
Yeah. Ooh.
So that's like Pulp Fiction stuff.
Right, exactly.
They
take the needle.
Another time at a Howard Johnson motel, he had the opposite problem. He was so wired, he had to get a shot through his neck to knock him out.
Oh, my God.
Through his neck, in his hip, in his heart. They're sticking him like a pincushion. Elvis was known to mutilate himself. He had a hole in his hand that he would pick at. It started off as a small injury, and by the time it was finished, you could have parked a car in it.
Oh, God. Man, I need some more pills for this hole.
I don't think I've ever given you this one before. This is Elvis's Sanctuary. This is a real look inside Graceland.
Okay.
Okay. When you went up the steps, you saw 2 black padded double doors. And as you walked in, you could look into Elvis's bedroom on the right. But what you're really walking into is what Elvis called his office, which was a big room. As you walked to the left, there was a bathroom that Priscilla or whoever female he was with used. What he called his office, which was more like his study, was done in a tan color, had an upright piano, a couch built into the wall, and to the left was Elvis's desk. He used to have that console TV in there that RCA gave him for selling 1 million records. It's in the trophy room now. Elvis also had a refrigerator. The refrigerator was full of popsicles, Eskimo pies, fudgesicles, and yogurt.
Yeah, yogurt. Keep yogurt in there.
If you walk to the right, you went to his bedroom. A rough guess is it was 20 by 30 feet. Jade green color, padded Naga hide ceiling with 2 TVs sunk flat in there.
A padded Naga hide ceiling.
So 2 TVs sunk flat in the ceiling, so when you were lying in bed, you could look straight up and watch TV. And another TV mounted at an angle in the ceiling. The walls were all tufted red velvet, except the wall toward the foot of his bed. That was smoked mirrors.
Now picture, if you will, really. I'm picturing the Naga hide ceiling.
Green.
The red walls.
Right.
Crushed velvet. And then the smoked mirrors. Hey, that says class.
In a tan room. At right. The top of the walls, they had black velvet borders around them. Real flashy. The bed was custom built with a black Naga hide headboard. The bed had armrests that came out so Elvis could sit up in bed. He had 2 round imitation fur lounge chairs in there, one in each corner. And he had a nightstand next to the door.
It's a cool room, man.
As soon as you walked in. Of course, the 3 air conditioners were going all the time.
To keep it 50 degrees in there.
There was a little hallway that led to the bathroom with 2 closets, one on each side. Then in the bathroom itself, to the right of the doorway, was a 12-foot-long marble counter with a purple sink. Then there was a dressing mirror.
My God, a symphony of color.
A makeup mirror in the back of the corner with oversized lights. The rest of the room was done in black and gold tiles. Everyone thinks Elvis's bathroom is big. It really wasn't that big.
10 by 12 feet. There was another room on the side of the bathroom. Elvis broke down the wall and made it into a combination bathroom, dressing area, wardrobe room. He had an extra cycle there that was never used. Oddly enough, he kept a vinyl chair in there. Elvis's toilet was black.
Not to be confused with his purple sink.
It sat close to the floor and it had a padded seat. There was a yellow throw rug in front of him. Two telephones and an intercom mounted on the wall next to the toilet. And two more TVs, one in front of him and one in the ceiling. Again.
In the ceiling over the toilet?
Over the toilet.
Interesting. So I guess that's when you really push it.
Oh. Elvis hears about the reading chair he had in his bathroom. It wasn't really a reading chair. It was a barber's chair. It was big and tall and comfortable, so Elvis would just go in the bathroom and sit and read sometimes. That's why he called it a reading chair. But primarily, he would use it when someone would wash his hair or when he would get his hair dyed. Across the hall was Lisa Marie's room. It used to be the small conference room. When Elvis had a conference table in there, we used to meet there a lot and sit and talk. That was pretty much the upstairs.
Wow.
And that's all Elvis stayed in Graceland.
So, Naugahyde ceiling, crushed velvet walls, purple sink, black toilet, yellow throw rug, TV mounted in the wall.
And the ceiling.
And the ceiling above the toilet.
All right, let's, I don't want to do a break yet, Rob. Hold on, this is to make one fast call. Let's call, well, how about we call Elvis Presley Liquors?
Elvis Presley Liquors. Now, is this the one in Tupelo? Or is
yeah.
This, is
I it, think it's Tupelo, Mississippi.
Tupelo. They're very nice there. It's been our experience that they are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
We always ask them how things are going on the anniversary of the King of Rock and Roll's passing.
Elvis Death Day.
See if they're selling any of those decanters.
Oh, yeah, where you screw Elvis's head off and drink out of his neck.
You have one of those, don't you?
Love it.
Hello?
Is this Elvis Presley Liquors? Hello?
Is this Elvis Presley Liquors?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have the wrong number. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Very good.
A second.
It was nice.
No, it's not, man. It's not, Jack. You got the wrong place, Jack.
Oh, hold on. There's a problem.
One. Calling Tupelo, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
The birthplace of Elvis. A lot of people sometimes get it confused. They say it's Memphis, Tennessee. No, Vernon moved the family from Tupelo because he had to find work.
When we come back, I'll give you a choice. You can have Elvis's bizarre eating habits that sent him to his death.
That's always wonderful.
Or we do have the Scatter the Monkey. You know what? Elvis Presley Liquors must have gone out of business.
Oh, do you think they did?
Yeah, well, I've called the number twice in a row now.
That is so sad. They're saying that the crowds at Graceland are diminishing year after year now.
All right, well, let's just call Graceland then.
Nicolas Cage will revive that, though.
Sure.
Now that he's dating Lisa Marie.
All right, we're calling Graceland.
15,000 fans at the Candlelight Vigil last night.
That's all?
15,000.
Well, that's not bad, though, right?
Yeah, but that's way down, though.
Yeah, what it was, yeah.
We're calling Graceland right now.
Good morning, Graceland.
Good morning, Graceland. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. How are ye?
I'm very good. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
You had about 15,000 people last night at the vigil?
One moment, please. Let me bring you over to our press release.
Oh, please don't put us there.
No, they hate us over there.
Ma'am? Hello? I'm
always cooperative.
If she puts us there, help you.
Ask for Todd Morgan.
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi there. We're big Elvis fans. How's it going at Graceland today?
It's a little busy.
Was there a good turnout last night at the vigil?
Yes, there was. We had about 12,000 people actually participate in the vigil this year.
Now, how did the vigil this year compare to years past?
It was a good crowd this year. It was larger than last year's, but not as large as we expect for next year. But it was a nice crowd.
Why is next year the 20th?
Next year's the 25th.
25th anniversary.
25th anniversary.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, I'd like to, could I test your Elvis knowledge for a second?
Give you a chance. I'll give it a try.
Okay, give it a chance to win a prize here on the radio.
Very good.
You know, we love Elvis, and we're devoting our entire show today to Elvis.
Okay.
You consider yourself to be an Elvis fan?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. This is something that an Elvis fan would like to know. All right, guys, you ready for the Elvis trivia?
Let's do Elvis trivia right now.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
At the time of his untimely passing, what was the weight of Elvis's colon at the time of his death?
No, guys, you know,
this is an answer. Honey, this is documented.
You want to just throw a guess out?
This is in the autopsy.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
You've never seen the colon, or you've never seen the autopsy?
Yeah, neither.
How about a guess?
No, I don't have a guess, sorry.
Listen, I'll still give you the... I tell you, you come within 10 pounds, I'll give you the prize.
No, thanks.
Mm. All right, not for a prize. Would you still like to guess just for fun?
No.
Aw, oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
It was chalky and impacted.
It was.
40 pounds.
40 pounds.
40 pounds.
How about the over-counter drug that was found in Elvis's system at the time of the autopsy?
Hold on a second. You think she wants to guess that one?
You want to guess that one?
No, I have to go, y'all.
How about as a follow-up question, can you describe the sound it made when they emptied his stomach in the hospital?
Oh, Rob.
They said it sounded like gravel.
Gravel.
I've never heard that before.
When they emptied... You got me with that one. I thought you were making that up.
Yeah, well, a lot of the pills hadn't digested yet, so when they emptied it into the pan, instead of like the gooey sounded, like,
so it sounded like gravel. Just complete pills.
Yeah.
Well, she's gone, Rob.
Yeah. Oh, that was too much?
What was it? Sinutab, Don?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Sinutab. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes.
Sinutab. In Elvis's stomach, all this stuff was found at the time of his death. Codeine in high concentration.
Right.
Morphine, Quaaludes, Valium, Valmid.
Jesus.
Placidol. Buzz, I always have a problem. Amitol.
Amitol. That's Amitol, correct. Right.
Demerol, mm-hmm. And yeah, Mike, you had it.
Sinutab.
But no gravel.
You know, I always tell the people at Sinutab, do they still make Sinutab?
Yeah, I think they do.
Sure they're probably pretty proud of that.
Sure they do. Well, she had a chance to win a prize.
All those prescriptions, but hey, Sinutab, you just walk into the drugstore and grab it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give you, just before we go to break, real fast, because we promised the Oma Peter.
Uh-huh. Right.
Here's just the beginning, Oma Peter. When Elvis was 4 or 5, says first cousin Billy Smith, my mama and Aunt Cleides were dancing together.
Cleides.
Were dancing together to some music. They were up on a trunk, waving their skirts around, so they were flying up. Little Elvis was in the room. And this is what he means. Elvis is a little boy.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the more they danced, the more excited he got. He grabbed my mama by the leg and said, oh, my Peter.
Oh, God.
Well, Gladys Presley went wild. She yanked him up and yelled out, you quit all that damn dancing. She pointed at Elvis and said, look what you're doing to him. When my mama told me that, I like to die. Oh, my Peter.
Redneck.
Look what you did to him.
I like to die.
Oh, my Peter. All right, Buzz, you asked for it earlier. Scatter the Monkey.
Yay.
That's Elvis's pet monkey who came to an untimely demise.
Yes, very sad.
And that's next as we mourn.
We're mourning.
The death of Elvis Presley. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress. He'd been hospitalized several times in recent years for rest and for eye problems. His musical style and his showmanship kept teenage girls sighing and swooning in the late 1950s.
Are you sorry we drifted apart? Do the chairs in your park?
Now, wait a minute. Good grief, what's the words of that song? What?
I can't hear you, honey.
Does your memory stray?
That's yours.
No, that's yours, dear.
Cute as hell. Okay. Can you believe that? I mean, just a complete mental block.
Right.
I love you too, dear. Thank you very much. Try it again.
Say it again.
Are you lonesome tonight?
Okay, all right. Well,
proudly wearing their rock kings, Don and Mike.
Yes, the bullet is true. Elvis's dad.
Are you lonesome?
The show lives on.
Yeah, listen, that's the old Elvis right there. That's the good Elvis you're playing right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the other Elvis is the Elvis we love.
Does your memory stray? I wonder if
you're welcome tonight.
Come on now. Dirty Elvis.
If you can.
All right. Scatter the Monkey.
Yeah, the monkey yes. Story.
As requested by Buzz. You know, I can't believe we've been doing this Elvis Death Day show now. This is the 16th year.
Amazing.
I did it 1 year before Mike joined the show, and Mike has done it every year ever since.
Yes.
I can't believe that we have not gotten some kind of an award
for our tributes to Elvis.
Yeah.
You should.
I mean,
like from Graceland.
Once a year, we devote the entire show to Elvis.
Maybe like a little, $10 bill from the estate.
All right, here's Scatter the Monkey.
Hey.
In the early 1960s, Elvis's entourage took its most problematic and entertaining member on the road. A 40-pound chimpanzee.
You know, the first time you read this story...
named Scatter.
We always wanted to get a chimpanzee for this show.
Yep. Scatter's trainer, Bill Killebrew, featured Scatter and his brother, Chatter.
Scatter and Chatter.
On a Memphis TV show. Wanted to pare down the act and approached Elvis about buying the monkey as a companion. Elvis adored Scatter. He was an easy mark. Let me see. Scatter was, this is Marty Lacker talking now.
Right.
Scatter, Elvis's monkey, was with us on the first trip cross-country. We had him in a cage at the back of Elvis's Chrysler station wagon.
That's how they went across country.
One night we checked into a motel in Flagstaff, Arizona. The monkey stayed in Alan and Lamar's room. All night long we heard Scatter going, ba-doom, ba-doom, running back and forth in the room. The next morning Lamar said in his quiet voice,
you need to come in here and see this.
Scatter the monkey had gotten up on the drapes and started swinging on them. They were partially pulled down. And he had S all over them. Oh, God, it was a mess. Lamar said Scatter was just throwing everything he could find. He'd even S in his hand.
Oh, well, that's what they do.
Throwing it on the wall. I said, how do you think we're going to get out of here without paying for this? Lamar said, don't worry about it. We closed the door and had breakfast at the restaurant. About the time our food came, I looked out the window and I said, oh, my God. The Mexican maid was knocking on the door. We jumped up at the same time and tried to yell at her, but it was too late. Before we could get out of her chair, she walked in and closed the door and started making up the room. It was early in the morning and it was dark. Well, you can picture what it was like for a Mexican maid to open Elvis's motel room door in Flagstaff, Arizona, and find his monkey inside. Scatter ran across the room and latched onto her, and she went bananas. She started screaming the most blood-curdling yell I've ever heard. We ran over there, and God, it was the funniest sight. The maid came flying out of the room with Scatter wrapped around her. We peeled Scatter off of her, and he bolted out the door and went tearing across the runway, which ran over the shed in front of the hotel. He ran up the drain pipe and over the top. The maid was still screeching, and Scatter was on the goddamn roof dancing up a storm laughing at us. Alan said, what are we going to do? Elvis is going to kill us. I said, go get your car and I'll get the station wagon. I'll leave the back door open and the window down and the cage ajar. Slowly drive off. Well, that car hadn't rolled 10 feet when Scatter was on that sucker. He thought we were going to leave him. He stuck so tight he looked like tape. We paid when we checked in, so we took the keys and threw them on the desk and took off before anybody discovered how bad the room was.
Scatter the monkey.
As much of a terror as he was, Scatter was also capable of behaving like a gentleman. Elvis used to love to take him for a drive in the Rolls Royce.
How do you argue with that? You know, you're a superstar, you have a chimpanzee, and you take him for a drive.
Wait. Elvis would buy little suits for him.
And he'd put a chauffeur's cap on him and balance him on his lap. When they would meet a car, Elvis would duck down to make it look like Scatter was driving. One guy drove off the road. We came home one night on Bellagio Road and found out that Scatter had bitten Jimmy the butler real bad. Elvis was pissed. Jimmy was threatening to quit if Elvis didn't get rid of the monkey. Scatter was upset, too. We kept him in the basement underneath the steps. Alan tried to get him to go downstairs to his cage, and he wouldn't. Elvis finally calmed down, and he walked up to Scatter, and he stood over him. Scatter was on top of his monkey cabinet, and he looked up at Elvis with those innocent eyes, and all Elvis did was stare at him. Finally, Elvis said, "You coconut-headed little MF-er, you better get downstairs in your cage, and you better not bite anybody anymore either." Scatter hopped off the cabinet and slowly walked downstairs like a man going to the electric chair. We all followed him. He had too much pride. He looked down. He marched to the basement and into the cage. We came upstairs, and Elvis fell on the floor laughing. Of course, Elvis didn't always love Scatter. Elvis hit him with a cue stick one night. He hit him so goddamn hard that monkey saw stars. And then the monkey ran up the curtain. "God damn," I said. I came downstairs with a gun. I said, "Elvis, if you lead the monkey about 2 yards, I'll shoot him." God. We had a huge 35-millimeter projection screen on the wall of Elvis's basement den. It was covered by drapes. Scatter would always run up the side of that damn thing, get up on the drapes, and start swinging. One time he miscalculated a little, went right through the screen. He was cute, but he was very destructive. He pulled out Elvis's phone lines a few times. Lamar says one time the goddamn monkey bit me and he caused me a lot of problems. He tried my patience every way but loose. So I went out and got a hot shot, a cattle prod.
Oh, no.
I know that monkeys hate water, so I ran a tub full and forced him into it. As he landed in the water and he started going, "Rah, rah," I said, "Okay, you little bastard." And I jammed that cattle prod into him. And I promise you, every hair on his monkey body stood straight up.
Jesus.
Everybody came in and Elvis said, "He's trying to kill my monkey." And I said, "Yes, I'm going to kill that son of a bitch right here. I hated that damn chimp." Elvis used to wait till the den was filled with girls and everybody was comfortable and he was having a nice time. Then he'd whisper, "Okay, boys, let him out." We'd open the door from under the steps and his monkey would come out whooping like crazy and scaring people so mad they almost had heart attacks. He could make noise. He was about 4 feet tall, and he made an impression. Elvis taught him to do a lot of things, but he learned some on his own. When a woman got up to go to the bathroom, he'd run and hide behind the bathroom door. In a minute, we'd hear this god-awful scream and the frantic grabbing of the doorknob. The girl would bolt out screaming her head off, and the monkey would come out after her. One time, this big, tall girl named Pat Perry was over at the house. She didn't know about Elvis's monkey, and this sucker made his entrance. He came in with that screeching with his hands up. She thought he was going to attack her. He didn't. He kept trying to look up her skirt.
Oh.
She told him to stop, and he wouldn't. She said, "You do that one more time, I'm going to knock the hell out of you." They were both in front of a couch by the bar. Naturally, Scatter did it again, and Pat came off the floor and hit that monkey under the chin.
Oh, no.
He did a backflip and landed on the couch. He had a head like a bowling ball, but she put a dent in it.
Oh, God.
One of Scatter's favorite pranks was to lie on his back on the edge of the couch so he'd be half on the couch, half off. When a girl walked by, he would crook his finger under the hem of her skirt and stick his head up there. And sometimes he would bait in front of everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He would get his jerk on in front of everybody. Believe it or not, Elvis did not have to teach him how to do that.
Wow. That's amazing. I didn't know that he did that.
But the boys would put him in a bedroom with a couple who was making love. He would get excited and jump on the guy's back and start to J.O.
Oh, God.
Scatter was the real life of the party.
Sounds like it.
But now you're going to hear the sad end of Scatter, okay?
Yeah, no, this is not happy.
Poor Scatter.
We knew a woman named Brandy Marlowe who'd come to Elvis's party. She was a stripper, but she didn't come to the party as one. She was just a guest. But she liked to play with Elvis's chimp. She thought he was fascinating. One night, Scatter got in her lap, and she had on a low-cut blouse. Scatter kept running his finger down her cleavage. Elvis said, Is that bothering you?
She said no. Elvis said, well, if you don't mind, let's see how far we'll go. And the monkey went to unbuttoning her blouse with both hands. Scatter started off with somebody's drink one night. He turned out he was a goddamn suds head. He loved beer. But he could turn down a fifth of liquor before you knew it. He'd get so goddamn drunk he'd fall off the couch and the floor and just slide. He got loose in Bel Air once and the next door neighbors were upset. The final straw came when he went over there again. They were having a fancy party and Scatter went roaring through their house with his hands up and all the hair standing up on his back. He went, woo, 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 loud as a freight train. And when he screamed God, it would just send chills down your spine. Scared the hell out of the party guests, especially when he ran towards them. He just wanted attention, though. That did it. Scatter was banned from Bel Air. We had to take him back to Memphis.
This is the sad part coming up here, isn't it?
Scatter the monkey met a sad end. We put him outside behind Graceland. He couldn't stand being left alone after all the attention he'd gotten. He died out there by himself.
Oh, no.
Hanging on the side of the cage. When we took Scatter back to Graceland, the maids had to feed him because Elvis was gone so much. One day, a maid named Daisy went out there, and she had her wig on, and that goddamn chimp grabbed the wig right off her head. Scared a couple of years off her life. We always thought she poisoned him. Wouldn't surprise me. Because not long after that, Elvis's monkey came up dead.
Oh, no.
Marty Lacker says, I happened to be out in the backyard when they took him off. He was as hard as a brick bat. Frozen dead.
There's that brick bat again.
Two guys came from the animal shelter, and each guy had one frozen monkey arm supporting him because he was upright with his long arms out and his legs bowed. It was eerie. It shocked me. They just carried him out to their truck and hauled him off. Poor old Scatter. Poor old dead Scatter.
There it is.
Elvis cried and cried.
Poor Scatter. You gotta like, that's the part of Elvis I like. Yeah. I like that a lot.
And here is a visual aid, of course, Mike, is the picture of Elvis on a movie set where he's actually reading to his pet monkey, Scatter.
There's Scatter right there. That lovely face on that chimpanzee.
The monkey is sitting in Elvis's big director's chair, and Elvis has got like on a sailor's hat.
Yeah.
And he's reading a story to him.
Reading to Scatter, trying to look sensitive.
Yeah. That was a good selection, Buzz.
When in real life, he used to have his monkey just reach down women's shirts.
Everybody loves Scatter the monkey. Now, listen.
And I'll always be fond about Scatter hiding behind the bathroom door.
And then frozen solid in the backyard.
Yeah, when they lost interest.
Poor Scatter.
We've still got to get to the Elvis pull your root out, pull your tongue out by the roots.
Yeah, there's a lot of real tape we have on Elvis.
Yeah, maybe we get to that next. We've got still the Elvis bizarre eating habits.
Right.
You and I have not called the Elvis Presley Psychic Network yet.
No, that's right, man. We got to find out about it. What's our future going to hold?
Yeah, we got tons of Elvis stuff to get to. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, happy Elvis Death Day.
All right, you too. Hey, I want to make an observation about Elvis.
Yes.
It seems like the dumber you are, the more you love your mama. You know what I mean?
Huh?
Like, you know how Elvis really loved his mama a lot?
Yeah.
It seems like the dumber you are, the more you love your mama, like Bobby Boucher and the Waterboy.
So you sound like you might have some issues about this.
Very astute comments, sir.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, it seems like the smarter people hate their parents. You know,
this is the kind of in-depth analysis that you get on the Elvis Death Day show.
It's amazing that we've elicited this kind of response from this guy.
Right. Yeah.
So dumb people love their parents.
Yes.
Okay.
Huh.
Hey, if I fall asleep later, will you wake me up and feed me a cherry pie?
That makes me, you know.
I redeem myself. Come on, I redeem myself.
Okay, isn't that another story we have, too?
Yeah.
Where he left someone and dumped it if he falls asleep.
To wake him up and feed him a pie.
Feed him a pie.
Hey, man, listen, if I fall asleep, as soon as you find me, you wake me up and feed me a pie.
Feed me a pie, man.
Feed me a cherry pie. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brothers. You know, I have been listening to you tell these Elvis stories for years now, and they never stop being funny.
You know, they never stop being funny because they are real. Mm-hmm. And it's Elvis, it's celebrity, it's stardom gone absolutely nuts. But there's the part of it that if you were a superstar in today and you could get yourself a chimpanzee and you had a gang of guys that you hung out with.
You dressed
him
up.
Girls coming over. I love that about Elvis.
You dress him up in the chauffeur suit.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's hysterical.
It will fascinate you.
What?
Hamburger James.
If we got time today.
Please.
I promise we'll try. We got a break right now. The bulletin's still coming over the wire. Elvis is still dead.
Mm-hmm.
And still we have no medal for doing this show, Mike.
No, we don't. I can't believe that.
No one is saluting us yet. Except this guy on the phone. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It was really bad to take a sleeping pill and then order his food. And, you know, he'd choke. You had to watch him. You had to watch him like a baby.
What do you mean? He would be so drugged that when he was trying to eat, he would choke on his food?
Yeah. Yeah. I know Billy's saved him.
What, like pounding him on the back or the Heimlich?
The literally pulling it out.
Of his throat?
Sure.
Come on! The Don and Mike Show.
Sure.
Hey, how do you like that job? Reach in there with your fingers.
I know we got a story somewhere about someone reaching into Elvis's throat to pull out pieces of hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You find that one, Robbie? We got a thousand Elvis stories. Tomorrow on the show, the brand new low budget Jeff Hardy, Chuck Stossel, the Love Muscle will be here.
Right.
Rudy Marcy. I think maybe John Madden coming on tomorrow. Somebody's really heavy in the football world coming on.
Very exciting.
Keep in mind, next week, the return of Strip Trivia 2001.
Oh!
It's going to be a live edition in the studio, of course, at the 4-Hour Club. If you listen to all 4 hours every day, we're going to start making the calls next week. So send us your information with a phone number you can be reached at to this address. Don and Mike 4-Hour Club, P.O. Box 3649er, Washington, D.C. Our zip code is 2007. And we'll start making the calls on Monday's show. You promise to listen to all 4 hours every day. Of course, what am I saying? Today, Elvis is still dead.
Yes, he is.
As you are, as a friend.
Yeah, it's one of his latest recordings. This is one of the worst Elvis tapes we have. This is the Elvis impersonator who's doing a bunch of different stuff like Sweet Home Alabama as Elvis.
Wow.
Except he doesn't say, turn it down.
Turn it up.
Is that what they say, turn it up?
Turn it up.
Big wheels.
Turn it up, man. I should get something good for this. This big a hole I dug in my hand.
Big wheels keep on turning. Get me home to my kin.
It is a good impression.
Yeah.
Singing really songs about the Southland.
Hey, I'm dead.
I'm with my family once again.
You know, not a lot of people can do Elvis impersonations.
Okay.
But you know what? If you want to make it even funnier, just know this. He's German.
Right.
This guy's German. So that's good.
No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry.
So he's a German guy doing that?
Yeah.
We tried to book him on the show, but it just wouldn't happen.
He's at 9.
Yeah.
Same guy coming up here?
The 9. I can't do it, man.
This is Elvis singing New York, New York.
That's right.
Start spreading the news. I am leaving today. I want to be a part of it. Vagabond shoes are longing to
stray. Okay.
Very hard of it.
We're going to go right now to Elvis dying.
Okay.
This is very sad.
We're skipping all over the place today.
The dark part. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Elvis is dead.
Of course,
all kinds of speculation about what book Elvis was reading on the toilet when he died.
Ladies and gentlemen, please no laughing. No.
Mike, as you figured out earlier in the Elvis quiz, it in fact was the scientific search for the face of Jesus.
It's the Shroud of Turin.
The Shroud of Turin book by Frank Adams. Dan Warlick, the investigator for Shelby County Medical Examiner's offices. Elvis was reading a raunchy book about astrology and sexual positions. If he changed books, he changed only after Billy Smith left. Because he remembers the book. It was the Shroud of Turin book. He bent the page over to mark the picture of the shroud and the outline of how Jesus looked. He was sitting there reading it on the toilet while I was washing and drying his hair.
So, let's get this straight. Elvis is on the commode. He's on the bowl itself and is getting his hair washed while he's taking a dump?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, is that luxury?
We never really wanted to say this, but Elvis was actually sitting on the toilet with his pajama bottoms down.
While he was getting his shampoo. I forget. You know what? We do this every year, and you forget some of the crucial pieces of the puzzle. I did not know he was getting his shampoo and a blow dry.
His colon was bothering him. He fell over, and best I understand, he crawled several feet. It was not an instantaneous death. Or a painless one. They know from all the little hemorrhages he had from the waist up, where the blood vessels had burst after he fell. It goes along with a drug death. Don't put your hand over your mouth.
I was stifling a cough.
He must have struggled for a while, too. Because he vomited a little bit and laid there before he died. Ginger says when she woke up at about 2 in the afternoon and Elvis wasn't in bed, but his reading light was on, she was concerned. But instead of immediately going to look for him, she called one of her friends. Finally, Ginger got up and went looking for him. She knocked on the bathroom door. And when he didn't answer, she went and found him slumped on the floor. He was kind of on his left side, with his knees drawn and his hands underneath his face. From what I understand, he was almost in a praying position. He had on his gold pajama bottoms, and they were down past his knees. And his face was in the carpet, with dried blood in his nostrils.
Oh, no.
She called to him, and he didn't respond. So she touched him, and he was cold. She said later that she turned his head, and he seemed to breathe once. But dead people often expire a little air. And his face was distorted. His eyes were closed, and she opened one of them, and it was like real red. And it just stared ahead, empty-like. And his tongue was lolling out of his mouth.
Wow, this is quite a bit of detail.
She called downstairs and said, "Who's on duty?" And Pauline, the maid said, "It's Al." He was the first person to go upstairs. Al looked at Elvis and panicked. He called out to the office, and Joe, who'd just flown in from California, came up there with Patsy Presley right behind him, and they found Elvis all discolored, purple, almost black from the waist up where the blood had settled. Al said that Joe slapped Elvis a couple of times to bring him around. When that didn't work, he tried to give him mouth-to-mouth. But Elvis's jaw was clamped tight.
No laughing. No laughing, please.
So Joe tried to bust his front teeth out. But he couldn't get Elvis's mouth open. Elvis had clamped down on his tongue so bad he'd cut his tongue in half.
Ooh.
And it was black. Joe denies he ever knocked Elvis's teeth out. But it's true. It was a hard thing to see. Joe had to bang on his teeth a few good minutes to get him to come out.
Oh, dear.
When we got there, the Harvey team, that's what Baptist calls the emergency crew, had Elvis in trauma room 2. But all the guys who had... This music is killing me.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty sad.
And all the guys who'd gone in the ambulance, Charlie, Joe, and Al, were in trauma room 1. I had a hard time getting by security, and finally, Arden Cook Canton came by.
That'd be Charlie Broyhill, Joe Arden, Alan Line 1.
He saw me, he said, let him through, that's his cousin. I walked in trauma room 1 and Joe put his hand on my shoulder and said, he's gone, I know he is. I hear all kinds of tales now. I never saw Elvis in that room. But in 1992, Dr. Nick came out with a story in the National Enquirer where he said he got a heartbeat on the EKG monitor, but Elvis was brain dead. Now, the Harvey team pumped Elvis's stomach. There were so many pills, it sounded like gravel going in an aluminum pan.
Oh, my God.
And we heard this through the closed doors. We also caught a glimpse through the door. We saw Elvis naked on the steel table. And they'd cut him open from his neck to his midsection.
Oh, man. So they'd already done the autopsy.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we weren't standing there very long and Dr. Nick walked out. He looked right at me and Joe and shook his head and said, we lost him. Elvis is dead.
That's all the detail right there.
Wow.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I got on Elvis' death.
Boy, you know, so many little details you forget.
Yeah. You know, I'm afraid, Robbie, give me some happier music. I'm afraid we can't go to break on that death.
No, we have to pick it up a little bit. Something nicer.
How about,
Please read this one.
What's a happy memory?
Elvis and the hot dog roll.
All right, very good.
Yeah, this is a good pick-me-up.
You'll like this. Happier times.
Yeah.
Drugged out times, but happier times.
Elvis's hot dog and hamburger bun kick was a strange one. He would tie the wrapper around the horn of his goddamn horse saddle and ride his horse eating those things.
Little kid.
A lot of times, though, Elvis would take a couple of sleeping pills and he couldn't sleep them off. Because you can't sleep when you've taken 500 milligrams of something else beforehand. Hell, he'd just get up after 2 hours and go on about his normal day. Let me tell you, Lee Marvin and Cat Ballou didn't have anything on Elvis. Because he'd just get up on the horse about the time the sleeping pills took effect. The faster he rode, the more he leaned. Elvis would ride around the ranch blown out of his skull. With his cowboy hat on, gloves, cowboy boots, jeans, and this big padded pile coat that made him look even fatter. He'd be so stuffed in that jacket that his walk was almost a waddle. And in his hand, he'd have this plastic see-through bag of hot dog buns. He looked like a little kid walking around with a sack in his hand. He'd be talking to you, slurring his words. Then he'd take a bite of the hot dog bun, sort of ripping it off. And you couldn't understand what he was saying for sure. It was just this muffled noise. Somebody talking through bread.
This is good, man.
Talking.
This is a good roll. Faster the horse would run, the more he'd lean.
With his plastic bag. With
wearing like a Steven Seagal coat.
Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, boy. See, happier times.
Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, good time, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. Happy Elvis Death Day. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
All right. Adam Micro?
Oh, geez.
What?
Who's this?
What is your problem?
This is Don and Mike. Who's this?
It's Rich.
Yeah, hi, Rich. What do you want?
No, just compliment you on your show.
Wait, what?
You guys are doing a horrible job today, man.
What?
You're doing a terrible job today with this Elvis.
I mean, you know, we said to you 3 times that you were on the air and you didn't figure it out. And you're calling to criticize us?
Hey, man, if we're doing such a horrible job, why are you listening?
There's nothing else on. I'm waiting for Opie Anthony.
There's nothing else on.
Well, no, your radio's got a dial, man. Turn it. Turn it. Come on. Turn it off right now.
Go on, man. Do it.
Come on, do it. Turn it off.
Good job, bro.
Turn it off, man.
Go away.
So I don't believe that. I don't believe people who say, I'm only listening now because I'm waiting for something else to come on. I don't believe that.
No, that's right.
He's got to go where the highbrow humor is.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Yes, hello, Stephanie.
Hi, it was my birthday yesterday, and I tried to call you, but I waited and waited, and I couldn't get through.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to you.
Yes?
Well, what can we do for you, Stephanie?
Well, I'd like you to spank me.
You want
to
be spanked?
I'd love to.
I really want to be spanked.
Would you mind if I used a bottle of Demerol to spank you in?
I'd actually, if Mike...
Yes?
Would you please spank me in a Regis voice?
A Regis voice?
Yes.
And explain that fantasy to me.
I don't know. I get turned on when my talk's like Regis.
You get turned on when I talk like Regis?
Yes.
What is it that turns you on?
I don't know. It's just
hey, what are you
turn on? I don't know.
What are you wearing right now, darling?
A short skirt and a tight blouse.
I think Regis makes her moist.
I think so. That's fair.
How old are you, darling?
28.
28 years young.
Oh, I'm going to use my container of Demerol, liquid Demerol,
and then I'll finish you off with Regis's bare hands.
How old are you today, Stephanie?
I'm 28.
Oh, under F.
28 today.
Closer to 9.
All right, here we go. One.
Well, you got to make some kind of response.
Honey, I'm giving you...
It was starting to feel good. Hold on.
Honey.
Go ahead.
Two. Don't make me hit you in the head. Three. Four. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Go ahead, Regis.
All right, here we go. Are you ready there, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. 14, 15, 16, 17.
This girl's deader than I am, man.
18, 19, 20. Stephanie, you're not doing a very good job. 20. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. There you go.
She sucks.
Thank you.
You sucked at that stuff.
She sucks.
No good.
Oh, stop it.
You're bad.
You're a bad girl.
F you. Would you please look at my pubic hair? Happy birthday, honey.
Enough with Stephanie. Yeah. Enough with all the dumbasses calling up. Hey, this is an awful show you're doing. Why are you listening to it?
Yeah. It's the only thing I get on the radio.
So we come back.
Oh, boy. Man, I don't know. I'm torn. Mm-hmm. We can call the Elvis Presley Jr. Psychic Hotline.
Right.
We got Elvis's bizarre eating habits that sent him to his death.
Are we going
to
hear some more of Elvis, too?
We got Elvis's baby talk. Elvis loves popsicles. You want to hear Elvis now?
I want to hear some real Elvis.
Do you want to hear the greatest Elvis tape we have?
Yes, I do.
The one about, I'll play you the entire one about the maternity suit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That goes into the thing with I would never take drugs.
This is Elvis, I think, out in Las Vegas when he's raving out a little bit.
Okay, Elvis is still dead and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you spend any time with a guy? Could you get any sense of what this guy was about? Did you continue dating him? Did you go to
Graceland for dinner. And
what did you have at dinner?
Oh, chicken fried steak.
Wow.
He ate a lot of it.
Yeah.
He had a big appetite.
Oh, yeah.
But there's one thing he wouldn't eat.
What was that?
Well.
Don and Mike.
All right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
Hey, we're doing
good. I got a question. I was watching a program they were talking about today. And tell me, I just got to ask, I don't know if it's true or not. Did Elvis own a private island on Hawaii or around Hawaii?
Don't think so.
No.
He's never heard that one. Okay, they were saying that on the pilot line, he could be alive, and that's where he'd be if he was alive. I didn't hear that, so I was wondering if you knew.
No.
Now, he loved Hawaii, but he didn't own an island there.
Rob, where's the tape we have of Elvis where he's in Florida? And he says,
in Hawaii.
Oh, here it is.
He's right in Hawaii, and he says it's a hot time in Florida.
Right.
Yeah, right, okay.
Elvis is in Honolulu.
Right.
And he's just done a concert. Here you go. Uncued.
You're kidding.
Story of our life. Freaking out. Here it is.
Man, can Hawaii get sticky? It's a hot time in Florida.
He's so effed up.
I guess so.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Boys, what's up, man?
Hey, hello there.
Yeah, how you doing? Steve from New York.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hey. I wanted to tell you that I got two comments. One on your show, one for that guy that called.
Yeah.
The first one is, don't be joking around about Elvis's blue suede pills, all right?
Don't be joking around about what?
His blue suede pills.
Blue suede pills.
Okay, what else? Right.
And now the a-hole that curled up.
Yeah.
If he can't find nothing else on, then like Buzz, like you said the other day, wife folks are their relatives, he should just go ahead and do his mom.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you for that sensitivity.
Thank you. Do your mom. That's what we say. If you don't like this show, right. Have sex with your mother.
And the gravelly blue suede pills.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey. 365, or, you ever heard of Dred Zeppelin?
Yeah. Sure, sure.
I was thinking maybe you ought to play some of that today. Little Elvis impersonation doing a reggae beat of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, we got that around here somewhere. Yeah, we haven't played that for a long time.
Sure, that'd be great for today.
You know what we got, though? Thank you, my friend.
So much stuff.
Outstanding new time slot. Love it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We have the most requested tape in the history of our Elvis shows, and the rarest tape that we have. This is Elvis in Vegas. He is really effed up out of his mind.
He touches on the fact that he's been strung out, that the papers have said that he's strung out, and he's talking about the fact that he's not, but you can tell that he is under the influence of some narcotics.
I'm going to play you the entire unedited tape that starts with Elvis talking about, as he calls it, a maternity suit. Okay, this is our most popular Elvis tape ever.
He shuts down his concert.
All right, Marcus. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like you to meet one of the fellows who promoted me, the 8th degree black. His name is Ed Parker.
I mean, just listen to how effed up he is in the first 10 seconds of this.
This is where he's introducing completely self-serving. He's not entertaining. He's introducing the people that work with him on his karate.
18 Kempo schools around the country. Ed Parker.
We give him a little drum roll.
There's another fellow in the audience. Said book. This friend of mine, his name is John O'Grady. He's written a book. He was head of the narco squad in Los Angeles.
Where?
Where? For 26 years.
Narco squad.
And on the 166 page, he got about three pages about me and my ex-wife or so, and about our friendship, and about that maternity suit. It turned out to be a complete conspiracy and a hoax, man. And I just, no way. I had a picture made with that chick, and that's all. I mean, she got pregnant with a camera, a Polaroid or something.
Jack?
But anyway, it's all in this book. It's one.
Listen to him.
And watching Polaroid cameras, water. But you know what she did?
What?
Paranoid.
Well, she goofed up.
She named the night.
Named the night.
Paranoid Elvis.
The night she named, and my wife was in. No, my wife was with me in the audience.
What?
And that's the night she said, "Ain't no way I'm going to fool around with her out there. You kidding me?" So anyway, let me tell you something.
Incredible.
Hey, good explanation.
His wife was in the city.
Good explanation, Elvis. Thank you. May I have another, sir?
If you like things like the French Connection, the Chinese Connection, the British Connection, the knee connection to the jawbone, if you like that type of stuff, find this book. It's called O'Grady. It'll be in print when, John?
It'll fascinate you.
September 27th.
It'll fascinate you.
It will fascinate you. It's about 26 years of a hardline policeman working in the narco squad out of Hollywood. So you can imagine what it's like. By this movie, it's called O'Grady.
Talking about it. He's just a narco squad. He's up there out of his mind.
Well, he finds the three pages where he said Elvis didn't fool around on his wife.
Right.
So he loves the guy. He's a narco squad.
Yeah. That's right, E.
John just came back from New York. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years. International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
That's so sad.
In recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement. This award of special honors bestowed upon Elvis Presley, destiny, so-and-so. Lifetime member. International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
He's reading his
I gotta rewind that.
He's reading his narco citation. Mark.
You gotta hear that again because he's so effed up he can't even read his citation.
Mark. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years.
International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association, in recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement, this award of special honors bestowed upon Elvis Presley, testimony, so-and-so, lifetime member, International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
All right, let's go to part two of this tape now.
I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines. I don't read them because they're all junk. And
I don't mean to put anybody's job down.
I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up. You know. So in my case, they make it up.
Yeah.
When I hear rumors flying around, I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out.
Well,
by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music.
Yeah. Hey. When I got sick
here in the hotel, I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They were letting me perform.
Performer?
Three different sources I heard. I was strung out on heroin.
Of course.
I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack.
Jack.
Bellboys.
Maids.
Freaks who carry your luggage up to the room. People working around, you know, talking. Maids.
I was sick.
Yeah, I was sick. I was getting out of doctor, had the flu, and I met over one day. But all across this town, strung out. So I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else.
If I find
or hear an individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
That was during a concert. That's dangerous. To my daughter.
Dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor. Everybody, my relationship with you, my relationship with up on the stage, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roof. Thank you very much.
That doesn't thank you very much like you did a song.
Now, you know, in this book.
What is this book?
The Impersonal Life of Elvis, they have two whole chapters on the monologues.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got another monologue in here that we don't have the tape to.
Okay.
But I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to do my bad Elvis impression. I'm just going to read it to you as is.
Mm-hmm.
On the same night, because that's a rare recording we have of Elvis, you know, Pull Your Tongue Out by the Roots.
Right.
Let me see. He had just finished singing You Gave Me a Mountain. And he offered a clarification of his domestic situation. This is on the same night in Vegas. Elvis, this is Elvis speaking. I want to make one thing clear. I've been singing that song for a long time, and a lot of people kind of got it associated with me because they think it's a personal nature. It's not. It's a beautiful song written by Marty Robbins, and I heard Frankie Lane do it. I think it was, and loved the song. It had nothing to do with me personally or my ex-wife, Priscilla. She's right here. Honey, stand up. Come out, honey. Come on. Come on out.
So he's talking. Is Priscilla there?
Yeah. Turn around. Let them see you. Boy, she's a beautiful chick. I'll tell you for sure. Boy, I knows them when I picks them. You know? God damn. Now my little daughter, Lisa. She's 6 years old. Look at her jump up. Pull your dress down, Lisa. You pull your dress down before you jump up like that again, young lady. And at the same booth is my girlfriend, Sheila. Stand up, Sheila. Turn around, completely around.
How weird is that?
Wow. Sheila, hold it up. Hold up the ring, your right hand. Look at that son of a bitch. No, the thing I'm trying to get across is we're the very best of friends. And we always have been. You know, and I'm not doing this justice because you're not hearing this like in the drugged out Elvis voice.
You can get the rambling sense of what he's doing. Sure.
Our divorce came about not because of another man or another woman, but because of the circumstances involving my career. I was traveling too much, gone too much, and it was just an agreement that I didn't think was fair to her because I'd done so much and everything. So therefore, as decently as you can do that type of thing, we made an arrangement to be friends. To be close and to care, because we have a daughter to raise. After the settlement, it came out at about $2 million. Well, after that, I got her a mink...
Says that on stage?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
After that, I got her a mink coat. I know it. I'm talking about the mink coat. You hang loose over there. The XKE Jag, after the settlement, just gave it to her. She got me. Listen to this. Tonight, a $42,000 white Rolls Royce. That's the type of relationship we have. And then in parentheses it says, his speech is noticeably slurred. That's not a bad setup, is it, fellas? I mean, I got part of it back anyway. I wasn't hurting too bad, but I got part of it back, you know. She bought the car out of a gesture of love, and she likes this Stutz that I have. It's not a car, it's a Stutz. No! Wii U! God help me, it's called a stud. A Stutz.
So he is just out of his mind.
Wait, she likes the stud. She likes the Stutz. Mike Stone ain't no stud. So forget it. She liked the Stutz, so I'm going to give her the Stutz, and she can give me the rolls, okay? Then it says, puzzled applause by the audience.
Sure.
I'd like to do a song here, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the prettiest goddamn love songs I've ever heard in my life, man. I'll tell you. No, it is. It's one of the prettiest goddamn love songs I've ever heard. I've never sung it. I never recorded it. I never liked the goddamn thing till I found out, goddamn, I got a toothache. I found out the story behind why it was written. Huh. And I really don't like it because I don't like that type of stuff.
He's just all over the place.
Rambling.
So the next song, you know this song. It's been around a long time. Charlie, goddammit, take this belt off. It's going to cut me, castrate me, do something, you know. Really, I can't do that. I got things to do, places to, you know.
Is he talking about his big wide belt that he's wearing?
Places to go and other tours and things and cities and chicks and all that jazz.
Jazz.
You know, be careful, son. Don't let it get caught in the cord. I'll die out here. Electrocute my ass and, excuse me, folks, I mumble things. Oh, God damn, it's so tight you cut off my hair, man. I can't sing. You know, I sing from down in the gut, shoe soles. It'll never be up here. And he goes on to tell the story of Softly As I Leave You, before reciting the lyrics in hushed and reverential tones.
That's it.
And that's it. That's,
well, I wish we had that one on tape.
That one we don't have on tape.
That gives you a little idea. So he has Priscilla there. He introduces Priscilla, he introduces Lisa Marie, and then he introduces his girlfriend.
His girlfriend.
Then he talks about how he gave her a Jag, and she gave him a Rolls.
Right.
And he gave her a Maine Coat.
That's right.
And then he goes into the plus tax.
This is the prettiest goddamn love song I've ever heard.
Hey. Wow.
I got a goddamn toothache.
So he was just talking all night long.
He got to cut me out of this belt, man. He's going to castrate me. Okay, time out. Elvis is still dead, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why did he like young girls so much?
I think the idea of the innocence of it, maybe, was he liked, you know, and he liked to raise them and train them, I guess.
Did you guys ever warn him? Did you ever say, hey, you know?
Warn him? Are you kidding? 13, 14-year-old girl? It can just wipe out everything. I mean, that's when we really sort of banded together real tight. Said, look, we cannot let this out.
Everybody's favorite doped-up, drunken, freeloading, major market losers.
Hi.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Elvis is dead.
Yeah, ma'am.
And you know, once again, the time has gotten away from us.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got tons more Elvis stuff that we have not gotten to yet today.
A lot of good stuff, though. A lot of stuff I hadn't heard before. I'd never heard you read that speech. I never knew that Scatter the Monkey with J.O. I didn't know these things.
All new to us.
We've got a favorite, though, that we're going to go to now.
It's music.
Elvis's bizarre eating habits sent him to his death.
And would it be safe to say that all of us, when it comes to Elvis, it's his eating habits.
That's what we love the best.
That's what we love about Elvis the best.
Elvis Presley was a food addict.
Yep.
In high school, in Hollywood, in Vegas, in Graceland, Elvis lived for food. Elvis spent the last days of his life on a fast. He was desperate to lose weight. This music. Desperate to lose weight on a tour. Set to begin August 17th, 1977. Between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning of August 16th, cook Pauline Nicholson reported to Graceland for work. The cook she relieved told Pauline Elvis had refused to eat all day. She made a salad and started peeling potatoes. Though she felt Elvis wouldn't eat, she was worried and didn't know what to do. Several minutes later, the phone rang in the Graceland kitchen. It was Mr. P, as Pauline called Elvis. Pauline,
Wayne, would you fix me from... It says P-I-X-F-I-X.
Fix me. It's probably that... You know what? They're probably writing it the way you said it.
Right?
Fix me.
Yes.
Mumbling.
Would fix you fix me. Fix me some water, please. Both bottles are empty. Sure, said Pauline. Elvis always liked to have two huge bottles of ice water in the refrigerator next to his bed. Pauline went up to Elvis's room to refill the bottles. She found Elvis lying in bed. She tiptoed around him to pick up one bottle next to his bed and the other in the bathroom. As Elvis looked on from his bed, she carried the empty bottles to the ice maker in Lisa Marie's room. Pauline refilled the bottles.
Right there. As Elvis looked on from his bed, you just see this maid walking around his bed and Elvis's eyes just following her.
He's got an ice machine in Lisa Marie's bedroom. She's a little baby. She refilled the bottles and headed back down. His thirst quenched, Elvis thought about his next move. He was discouraged after several days of dieting and still weighed 255 pounds. He called the kitchen again between 2 and 4 a.m. to break his fast. He requested his favorite snack, ice cream and cookies. This snack typically consisted of 8 scoops of ice cream and 2 dozen cookies.
There you go.
On this night, however, he told Pauline not to serve as much as usual. Just a small amount. And don't give me as many cookies. Pauline dished up 4 scoops of ice cream and 16 to 18 cookies. She served the ice cream in a cereal bowl accompanied by cookies on a bread plate. After eating, energy surged through Elvis's body.
Man, I feel good now, man.
Revitalized. Yeah, he normally has 2 dozen cookies, but she only brings him 18.
Well, and he's getting the sugar rush, too.
After eating, energy surged through Elvis's body. Revitalized, he discussed the idea of marriage with girlfriend Ginger Allen. At 5 a.m., Elvis and Ginger went to play racquetball. When Elvis returned to the mansion at 7 a.m., he was much more subdued. Pauline said he looked hungry. He said, "You know, I'm not hungry. I'm just tired. I want to rest." Later in the morning, Elvis called the kitchen and asked for his medication, which he referred to as his attack.
His attack.
He typically took 3 such attacks each night, spaced several hours apart. But during this last night, he had saved up all the contents from all 3 packages of the attack. And he swallowed all of his attack pills at once. He was found dead several hours later on the floor of his bathroom.
Oh, dear.
Did Elvis deliberately overdose? He was very careful about the spacing of his medication. This was the only time he ever took all 3 attacks together. If Elvis Presley planned to kill himself, would he have spent the last week of his life on a diet?
Probably not.
No.
Something?
That's the knock on the king that I will not accept.
No. Something to ponder.
I don't think he knew what he was doing.
And Rob, I think we got time for one fast one?
Yeah. Okay. Be quick.
I know we got to be quick. We're cutting into Buzz's news time.
It's all right. It's worth it.
This is a follow-up. Elvis was hooked on ice cream, cheeseburgers, and Pepsi. Even as a teenager, Elvis loved food.
He did indeed.
Whenever Elvis performed in Las Vegas, he was fueled by massive intakes of food. After the show, Elvis might have a small backstage party, but more typically, he would rush to the service elevator to be whisked to his penthouse suite, where he lived on cheeseburgers piled high across his bed.
Yeah, if you're going to have a cheeseburger, put them on the bed, please.
The cheeseburgers were served with ketchup, but without mayonnaise, because Elvis believed mayo was bad for your stomach and throat. Fries with the occasional pickle were the only accompaniment. At Graceland, Elvis had cooks on duty 24 hours a day. Graceland's pantry was always fully stocked with Elvis's favorite foods. But the cooks who went grocery shopping never bought Elvis's favorite beverage, Pepsi. He drank too much of it to buy it at the supermarket. Instead, Elvis had cases delivered directly from the Pepsi distributor. One night in February 1976, Elvis and several pals jetted from Memphis to Denver to feast on the best sandwich Elvis ever ate. The Fool's Gold Loaf.
Well, it's probably got a very exotic ingredients if they flew all the way across the country.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich of Olympic proportions.
The PB&J.
The sandwich is an entire loaf of bread that's warmed and hollowed out and generously spread with peanut butter and jelly. The inside is filled with a pound of crispy fried bacon. During the last years of his life, Elvis's eating was totally out of hand. Once when he was about to enter the hospital, he left instructions. Here we go.
All right.
He was to be awakened and a cherry pie prior to his departure.
If I pass out, man, wake me up and feed me a cherry pie. Please, God, feed me that pie.
But he was so nervous that he would down the whole pie in bed, unaided by utensils. He was so nervous that he wolfed down the whole pie in bed.
Yeah, well, he got nervous energy, and that's when, you know, when you have nervous energy, eat a pie.
Another time while staying in Baltimore prior to a concert, Elvis awakened and ordered a hot fudge sundae for breakfast. He polished it off and ordered a second. Ate it and ordered a third, then a fourth, and a fifth. A sixth. Then he passed out. At the end of his life, he increasingly dined while reclining. However, it was impossible to lie flat in bed, eat, and watch the TVs, which were at the foot of the bed at the same time.
Right.
Elvis ingeniously thought of the idea of glasses with a mirror inside.
TV glasses.
The mirror, positioned at a 45-degree angle, reflected the TVs by his feet into his field of vision, which was focused directly upward. He favored one meal the last year of his life. Bacon, mashed potatoes, and Crowder beans. Sporting his TV glasses, Elvis would swirl the combination together on his plate and shovel it into his mouth with his bare hands. With TVs at the foot of his bed droning on and a bowl of food balancing on his stomach, Elvis ate his way to an early death.
Oh, my God. There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley.
Great wow. Show.
Still dead.
Still deceased.
As we head into the year 2001.
Oh, wow. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was great.
Lots of new stuff in there. You know, he keeps on giving.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that we didn't have time for the Elvis sex stories and
so much
of the tapes, but, you know, that's why Elvis died, so we'd have a great... What, more music?
Yeah.
And so that's why Elvis died, so we'd have a great show every year.
Right.
What the hell is this? You know, I don't know where we get this awful Elvis music from.
It's the Elvis elevator music.
I guess so. All right, well, thank you, Elvis. It's time to... Let's go to Buzz. Because, you know, if we don't go to Buzz now, what's going to happen is we're just going to get more caught up with this Elvis junk.
That's true.
And then it's going to be like 1 minute for the news. So let's go to Buzz.
Oh, we found the number of Elvis Presley Liquors, though.
Yes, they did.
We might have to call.
You have to call them.
We just got
to
at least hear them say
tradition.
Elvis Presley Liquors. It's time for Buzz right now, though, everybody.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
He made it up.
He made it up.
Okay, Buzz, what's the lead story tonight?
What a coincidence. Our top story, Elvis is still dead.
Hey, Buzz took his funny pills. Now, come on, really, what's your lead story?
A disaster in Hollywood of epic proportions.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
Okay, stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Hold on, I've got a complaint here. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what about Hamburger James? Come on, man, please.
No, see, I'm...
Hamburger James has become a traditional Christmas favorite.
Christmas story. There's so much. We'll do that at Christmas time.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, though.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. See, everybody's got the Elvis stuff they like listening to.
Sure. But that was very professional.
Yes.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot? What's
they
the word?
Still hate books. Don and Mike.
Buzz, listen, I promise I'm not going to junk up your news.
Don't worry about it. This is a special day.
I just want to hear him say Elvis Presley Liquors. Okay?
Are we calling Tupelo, Mississippi?
Yep.
Very good.
They just changed the phone number.
Ah.
We'll just hear them say Elvis Presley Liquors. Then we'll hang up like it's a crank call. And then that's the end of the Elvis show.
Elvis Presley, hi.
Is this Elvis Presley Liquors?
Hello?
Is this Elvis Presley Liquors?
I can hear you, sir.
Is this Elvis Presley Liquors?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That's great. Big celebration there, I guess.
It sounds like they've got a native Memphis person there. Or a Tupelo, Mississippian.
Very noisy.
Elvis Presley Liquors. Got one more new one, though.
Okay.
Elvis Presley cleaners.
Oh.
They got the stains out.
I wonder if they answer the phone as such.
Ask if your jumpsuit is ready.
Yeah, I know.
Press line. Cleaners.
Is this Elvis Presley cleaners?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, is my jumpsuit ready?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Come on, man.
The disaster unfolding in Hollywood this morning wasn't on film. It was a hotel fire that left a couple of people dead and others hanging from windows screaming for help. One woman plunged to her death trying to escape the flames, and a firefighter fell to his demise through an open elevator shaft. The hotel housed mostly long-term residents.
So it was one of those kind of flimsy hotels.
Apparently
so.
Oh,
like a flop house.
Yeah, that's the impression we get from the story. Yeah.
So no one famous died.
It wasn't the Wyndham Bellage, was it?
No, it wasn't one of the ritzy
hotels.
Thank
God.
The Bellage.
The Bellage Hotel. The Wyndham Bellage.
No, the salmon-colored hotel on Sunset Boulevard.
It wasn't the Beverly Hilton, was it?
Your celebrities are safe. Graceland says 12,000 people turned out last night for the candlelight vigil marking the 24th anniversary of Elvis's death.
You know, I went upstairs to the office, and I looked at some of the old stuff when we used to get written up. They used to write articles about us, about how bad we were for doing these Elvis shows. Mm-hmm. And back in 1987...
How many were there?
There were 28,000 people.
Yeah.
Because the headline was, Don and Mike shock Elvis fans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't bore you by reading you the article, but it was 28,000 back in 1987.
So it's starting to diminish. Well, E died at the age of 42, which would make him 66 today if he had survived.
Which would be funny.
Sorry. Age, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
The size.
Kind of weird.
He was 42 when he died.
Oh, I thought you meant 66.
Same
that's
age
not
as
our
us.
Age. Yeah, no, right. You're right. No, okay. Yeah, he was 42 when he died.
Yeah, man.
Which is what we are now.
I'm hungry.
The size of the memorial crowd is down, as Don said, from previous years, but Graceland says it is expecting 30,000 people for next year's 25th anniversary.
You know, we might have to go back. Come on.
It's a big event.
Come on, remember the year we got the RV? Come on. We might have to go back. Just one last final show with those morons.
It's Memphis, man.
Yeah.
Come on. You want to go, don't you, Rob?
I'd love to.
One more time.
I'd bring a jumpsuit.
Why don't you guys vacation there?
Come on, Mike. One more time in Memphis. Think about it. You got a year to think about it.
I got a year to think about it.
You know me. I'll forget about it by showtime tomorrow.
Okay, good.
So what the hell?
You caught up in the euphoria of the moment of today's show.
30,000 is how many people turned out in 1997 for the 20th anniversary of the King's passing.
We were there.
The annual vigil is part of a week-long celebration that features, among other things, an Elvis impersonator competition. Paula Jones, who sued President Clinton for sexual harassment, is now suing the man who convinced her to drop the lawsuit.
She was a whore.
That man is Abe Hirschfeld, a New York character who's repeatedly run for political office but never won anything.
She was a whore.
He publicly promised to pay Paula Jones $1 million if she would drop her suit against Clinton. Hirschfeld even held up a check for the cameras, but Jones says she still hasn't gotten the money.
Abe Hirschfeld.
Even though she signed an agreement with Hirschfeld.
I'll never pay her.
Hirschfeld isn't actually available to pay up right now. He's doing time on Rikers Island over a botched plan to kill a business partner.
Don't you want your tape?
Yes, please.
Here's Abe Hirschfeld.
Yeah, roll that now.
He is a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
There he is.
Abe Hirschfeld.
There he is.
I choose to remember a lot of worthless crap. That's all I know.
Sounds so young. He does.
He must be money.
Abe, yes, he is money.
Abe Hirschfeld.
Oh.
He's amused.
Yeah, he's
I know. That's good. It's a good thing.
Man, Abe Hirschfeld sounds like a little girl.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know, Mike.
Drug abuse among America's military personnel has been on the decline for the past 20 years.
F you, white trash.
But now the Pentagon says its soldiers have a little problem with the drug ecstasy.
I don't know, but it's been said. I don't know, but it's been said. This bad horse can make me dead. This bad horse can make me dead. Do X. Do X.
The Pentagon says it was made aware of the problem through the growing number of soldiers arrested for possession or sale of the drug. 11 soldiers in the Army's military police brigade at Fort Bragg.
I don't know, but I believe. I don't know, but I believe.
Sergeant Armiger's got some weed.
Sergeant Armiger's got some weed. Ganja, 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 count off ganja, ganja!
11 soldiers at the MP unit at Fort Bragg, 5 cadets at the Air Force Academy, 4 sailors from the Naval Aircraft Carrier Stennis, a lieutenant commander from the carrier Constellation, and 70 Marines from California and Arizona.
I don't know, I might be wrong.
I don't know, I might be wrong.
Colonel Burbank has a bar.
Last year, over 1,000 military urine tests turned up positive for ecstasy. The Pentagon says it's stepping up the testing to try to stop the trend.
What is that, Private Bob? A bong.
A bong, sir.
A bong in your footlock.
Yes,
is
sir.
Weed allowed in the barracks, Private Pyle?
No, sir.
No, sir. Are you allowed to smoke weed, Private Pyle?
No, I'm not.
And why is that, Private Pyle?
Because I'm wasted, sir.
Because you are a disgusting pothead, Private Pyle.
You can get information about the number of tickets handed out by the red light cameras in Maryland and Virginia, but in Washington, D.C. proper, that information's not available, according
proper.
To the Washington Times.
Proper. Give you props.
The paper says D.C. is the only jurisdiction in the area that doesn't test its automated traffic enforcement equipment to make sure it's accurate.
Man, that's cold.
Yes, it is.
Very cold.
In Washington, police have started using handheld cameras that supposedly clock your speed while taking your picture, and the police won't say how many tickets they've handed out based on those pictures. Police officials say they're concerned we'd take those numbers out of context if we had them.
There goes one now. There you go, right there. Wow. Right by the window.
In San Diego, meanwhile, a judge has ruled that police have the right to use such cameras, but he also ruled that the evidence from those cameras is untrustworthy and reliable. In other words, inky.
Inky. Thank God. It's a Buzz Burbank word. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'd like to tell you something. The people that got kissed last night, I kissed somebody and I caught their creeping crud. And if I got it, honey, you got it. I don't care what it is.
Facing challenges they can't handle. Oops. Ladies, come suck on their two remaining toes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Sorry.
A little twister came through here.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you're going to join the 4-Hour Club, send us a letter with the time you listen and your phone number. That's important. We're just looking at, we got a stack of them in the mail today.
Very good.
Spotlight here on Phyllis Weitzner from West Orange, New Jersey.
Very nice.
She writes in, Dear Don and Mike, please sign me up for the 4-Hour Club. Listen every day on WNEW. But no phone number.
Oh, Phyllis.
Phyllis, baby, how are we going to call you?
Come on.
Just to prove you're listening to the show. So send us your name, your address, and the phone number that you can be reached when the show is on.
That's the important thing. That's how you win.
If you're listening all 4 hours every day, send it to Don and Mike 4-Hour Club, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007.
Right.
We'll send you the laminated card back in the mail. And Phyllis Weitzner from West Orange, send back, honey. This does us no good. Does us a dick. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Another female teacher stands accused of seducing her male students. A 24-year-old Spanish teacher in Queens allegedly had repeated nooners with two of her 16-year-old pupils in the 98-99 school year.
Sí, hello.
The husband of Judith Esparza says the charges are, and I quote, sort of a witch hunt.
¿Dónde está la punta?
Bail's been set at $10,000 for the teacher, who's charged with 4 counts of rape and 11 counts of sodomy, sexual abuse, and endangering the welfare of a child.
Weren't we going to make one time a Broadway musical based on sodomy?
Yes.
Sodomy, oh, sodomy.
She could get 4 years in prison if she's found guilty. In New York, anyone under 17 is considered incapable of sexual consent. Make a note of it. A doctor in Brooklyn.
Okay, speak for yourself.
Okay. No, I'll make a note of it. A doctor in Brooklyn's being sued by 8 nurses who say the physicals he gave were a little too physical.
There you go. Come on over here.
God.
Okay, let me just tell you. All right, we're just going to take a feel here.
Doctor!
Oh, you're...
Doctor, your hands are cold!
You're unwell.
Dr. Conrado Ponio of the Lutheran Medical Center is accused of probing the nurse's genitals and touching their breasts while making sexual comments.
Oh, boy, that's...
Smell my hogs, queer bait.
Yeah, there's the doctor right there.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Johnson.
He was arrested early last year on disorderly conduct charges after a couple
disorderlies!
Of... A couple of other women from the hospital...
PG!
...had filed a complaint. JCPenney has pulled another of its latest TV commercials. In this ad, a girl tries on a pair of hip-hugger jeans, and her mother asks, "You're not going to school dressed like that, are you?" But instead of telling the girl to cover her midriff, the mom pulls the jeans down even further.
Baby.
The ad ran for several weeks until Penny's was flooded with complaints from parents.
I like to look at the nude ladies.
Last week, JCPenney yanked from its shelves a T-shirt that read "Homeschooled." Schooled was spelled with a K, and that drew complaints from parents who teach their kids at home.
They should be glad that anybody is still even going to shop at JCPenney.
Oh, wonderful stuff there.
Yes. A New York woman is in trouble with the law for using fraud to get bigger breasts. 22-year-old Melanie Melendez admits she used identification from her boyfriend's mother to get
this little girl had knocker.
Get a $7,000 loan. She says she needed the money to go from an A cup to a D cup.
Well, who can blame her?
Well, her boyfriend says he doesn't like really big breasts. So.
And it hit him so hard, it knocked a feces out of him.
Yes. That's why.
The boyfriend was upset.
Boyfriend's mother, who never liked Melanie anyway, got suspicious when she started getting letters from the loan company. Melanie says she needed bigger boobs because she suffered from low self-esteem.
I believe it.
According to the boyfriend's mother, he's a piece of work.
Yeah. A piece of ass.
And Disney is taking some heat over its new Bubble Boy movie. Parents of kids with immune disorders say that medical condition is far too serious to be fodder for comedy. There are reportedly more than 500,000 kids in this country with immune disorders, one of which requires them to be isolated from the rest of the world for their entire lives.
Hey, how come nobody complained when Seinfeld did it?
I don't know.
When Seinfeld did it, it was hysterical.
I think because, well, no, I was going to say because it was an adult, but no, it was a little boy.
Yeah, it was a bubble
right.
boy.
Yeah. Right.
For the bubble boy, hey, get out of here.
Support groups say Disney turned down requests to at least make the movie help people become more aware of the disorders. One group says the Disney film portrays the illness in, quote, such a lowbrow slapstick way.
That's all right.
Now, as amusement and theme park rides go, the spinning teacup ride is one of the mildest, right?
Yes.
Wrong, says Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. He wants an investigation into all theme park rides after a California woman died following a ride in a spinning teacup.
Boy, I mean, if you thought you were going to buy the farm on an amusement park ride, would you think it would be on a spinning teacup?
Not that one, no. Well, the 42-year-old woman suffered a brain hemorrhage after her visit to Six Flags Marine World near Vallejo, California. There was another brain injury death earlier this summer at
so
another.
She didn't smack anything. Flight.
No, they think it's from the sort of the whiplash,
the
I guess.
Centrifugal force.
Exactly.
The thing goes like 1 mile an hour.
Unless it's been lubricated, I guess.
What killed you? Take up! Take up!
Now, see, this is why honesty in advertising just doesn't work. Dateline Lincoln, Nebraska. They've put up billboards to promote this year's state fair, which is coming up soon, but this year they took a different approach. One billboard reads, "See bands you thought were dead." Another that shows a carnival ride says, "The only place where you pay to throw up." And still another shows a cow and encourages heavy petting. And people have complained.
Oh, that's good advertising.
Exactly. Great advertising.
One mother says she has a hard enough time shielding her kids from stuff, much less the state fair.
You know how you take care of all that?
How?
You put a Pedro Says on top of all the billboards.
There you go. That'll make
Pedro
them happy.
Says, "Hey, kids."
Pedro Says, "Copy for you."
The fair manager says he got tired of the old ad campaign, which just featured dancing livestock. And E. coli has made as many as 5 dozen people sick in Wisconsin this week.
That's what Rob got at the hotel.
Yeah, hey there.
At least 8 of them are in hospitals.
Sorry, no, it wasn't at the hotel. It was at the restaurant.
Yes, that's what it was.
It's one of the restaurants we ate at.
Right.
A county fair not far from Milwaukee is getting the blame for the Wisconsin outbreak, but health officials say they aren't sure whether the E. coli came from the food, the water, or from the petting zoo.
Fecal soup.
And
are from the madhouse.
Oh, God.
Now canceled every day on 100X in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Covered with their own feces.
Oh, no.
Would you buy a product called...
Hey, let's hear it for E. coli.
Go, Pack, go!
Buzz, I know you're going to say, well, we do something. We're going to tease with that. We have to break. What was the question here?
Would you buy a product called I Can't Believe It's Not Beef?
No.
More on that in a minute.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night and didn't make it. I don't know the words to it, so I had to read it. If you give it up, just, you know, please forgive us.
If they weren't on the radio, they'd be holding ye up. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's about Alan Iverson. I remember that. Okay, Elvis is still dead. But here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. So you wouldn't buy a product called I Can't Believe It's Not Beef, eh?
Uh-uh.
Elvis would. And a company called Food Tech was hoping you would, too. But now, that company is being sued by Lipton, which makes the better-known products called I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, which people do buy. Lipton says it's a clear case of trademark...
I can't believe it's not butter!
Lipton says it's trademark infringement, and it's suing...
What was that?
That's just an elfin-like person that's in their commercial.
I thought you were doing like my dwarf neighbor.
Well, that too. Kind of tied in from yesterday's show.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter!
Heard from him today. Forgot to mention
that
too.
Was he happy with everything?
Heard from him, yes. Had a phone message on the machine up in New York.
Good.
Loved it. Said
Danny the dwarf.
He got a bunch of response, and the next time we go up to NEW to do the show, he wants to come in on his lunch break.
Oh, fantastic.
Excellent.
He wasn't mad with anything that was said.
Very good. Well, Lipton is suing Food Tech to make it stop using the names I Can't Believe It's Not Beef and their other product I Can't Believe It's Not Chicken. Food Tech products are made from soy for people who have cut meat out of their diets.
Gross.
And don't forget for the Dr. Laura show, I Can't Believe It's Not Ratings.
MTV's Carson Daly, like those of us on the Don and Mike show, works for Viacom, which also owns CBS.
Let me just say, I know this story. I read this in the paper. This sickens me.
Doesn't it?
Rob, give me a barf bag. I really am about to puke with this.
There were reports that CBS was looking to put Carson on its TV network.
I think he deserves it.
To cash in on his popularity.
You're being facetious.
I know.
But Carson Daly will turn up.
You're a kidder.
Instead.
You know, I'll tell you, though, as I was driving to the train station yesterday, and I just saw those cookie crazy kids staring outside the window.
Oh, for TRL?
Just waiting for Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Carson!
And you know, he came out and said, I love you kids.
Carson Daly won't turn up on CBS. Instead, he'll turn up on NBC. Daly's taking over the hosting duties for NBC's very late-night talk show later. Under the deal he signed, he can appear on other NBC shows as well.
You know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this.
Yes.
I have concluded, after a great deal of thought, that he's a bit of a dumbass. Thank you.
He'll continue hosting TRL on MTV while he does all this.
I just want to say, Satan, if you're listening right now, I'm ready to sign the same deal.
Right.
I go, whatever deal it is that Carson Daly signed, to be able to... Now, keep in mind, he boned Tara Reid, the girl from American Pie, so he was engaged to her for a while, so he was getting in her pants,
and then
they broke it off, so he's not married to her. Mm-hmm. He's the host of TRL, which is the easiest gig in the world.
Right.
And now he's got all that teen poon, and now he's... Now he's going to be on later?
Mm-hmm.
Please, Satan.
And filling a spot hosted by the great Bob Costas, a great legendary broadcaster.
Right. Call me, Satan. I'm waiting for the call.
Where do we sign? Hannibal the Cannibal is the villain we love to hate. A new survey shows he's our favorite movie villain. Lecter beats out the likes of Norman Bates and Darth Vader in a new survey of 17,000 movie fans. The website onlymovies.com conducted the survey. It says Darth Vader placed second in the survey, followed by Norman Bates from Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho.
Where was I?
You?
Freddy?
Yeah. What, Fred. Is it because my movies were too long ago?
Fred Krueger?
A little further down the list.
Pussies.
Hold on, Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy, we're doing great.
Hey, I just want to have a quick question for Mike.
Yes.
Hey, Mike, I like that hair on the website, but with the way the Boston Red Sox just fired their manager, I hope you like it while you have it.
Well, you know, you're scooping Buzz there, but of course we all knew. I was waiting for Buzz to make the announcement, but since Boston Red Sox have fired their manager, Jimmy Williams, and... In the great tradition of deserting Red Sox managers when they're fired, I wholeheartedly support management's move to fire the manager.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how tight are you with the Dan Duquette guy? I mean,
I don't like Dan Duquette either. I wish they'd fired their manager and their general manager.
It's amazing.
Head shaving coming soon.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I would tell you right now that I'm gonna be cutting it shorter and shorter in anticipation of shaving my head.
Hey, can we have maybe a live haircut down in Ocean City?
At Ocean City, I don't think so.
Yeah, because when you want to shave your head, do it at the beach.
Hear ye, hear ye. Yep.
Get ready.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, want to talk to Mike, Johnny Fagula?
Yes.
About Cannibal the Musical.
Get out of here, please.
I'm dead serious. It's by the dude who did South Park.
Really?
Yep.
Cannibal the Musical.
Yep.
Fantastic.
All right, Johnny Fagula.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Broadway.
As you get older, your memory begins to fade.
What was that?
And by older, we mean 20-something. A new study from the University of Michigan says 25 is the average age at which we begin to forget things.
You know, I think you can lose your memory at 25.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Scientists say...
You know what?
Why?
I think you can lose your memory at 25.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Scientists say 20-somethings...
I'm so sorry.
20-somethings don't usually notice the change.
You lose your sense of humor at about 42.
You know, the Red Sox fired their manager.
That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists say folks in their 20s are losing their memories at the same rate as people in their 70s.
Well, okay, time out there, Dad.
All right.
We got a bust out here with a toe tap, a touch tone, and a chance for a call 100.
Elvis had a monkey.
This package selected especially for you. Call Lisa right now. She's standing by at 877-365-3636.
Boy, that Penn Station's scary.
Hundreds of callers.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Let them scrape your nipples off their fine leather seats.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Hey, now listen, tomorrow on the show, Rudy Marsky and some NFL guest, Chuck Stossel, the love muscle. We got a brand new low-budget Jeopardy for you. And we're going to start the trolling for Strip Trivia 2001.
Right.
We'll have the first midday edition of our Nasty, Nasty Naked Game Show with the cash prize of $1,000 we're giving away.
Serious money. If you've always wanted to play strip trivia, your chance is coming.
We will start the trolling tomorrow. Now here is Guy Birdley.
In sports, yes, it's true. The Boston Red Sox have fired manager Jimmy Williams right in the middle of a playoff race.
Now what are you going to do?
The Sox have lost 6 of their last 7 games. They're just 2 games back of the Oakland A's in the American League's wild card standings, but 5 games behind the Yankees in the AL East.
Let me bust in with this bulletin. Tomorrow, joining us on the show, the mentally unbalanced Jim Nance from CBS.
Oh, what a great way to start the season.
So just handed me a note. The mentally unbalanced Jim Nance.
Nancy. He could go off at any time. The Sox are aiming for the playoffs in spite of a string of injuries, including the one that sidelined Pedro Martinez. In fact, the Sox have 8 players on the disabled list right now.
Good luck storming the castle.
I do think it's a good move. I think it's time. They got to do something.
And the Justice Department has notified the Baltimore Orioles that it's found no evidence the team had a recruiting policy that discriminated against Cuban players. Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina had requested the investigation.
No Cubans on the Oreos.
Former Los Angeles Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda is still in the hospital after having dizzy spells at a restaurant yesterday.
Man, I'm so effing dizzy.
Officials at a hospital near Philadelphia say Lasorda is in stable condition. He took ill while eating dinner last night at a restaurant run by his brothers. The 74-year-old Lasorda had a heart attack 2 years ago. And finally,
I don't know. Sometimes you can't explain it.
I know.
And finally, there's only one way to make sure that your funeral goes the way you want, and that's to stage a dress rehearsal. That's what Romania's Alexandru Nita did this week.
That's what we're doing for you this weekend, all right?
That's it. I look forward to it. Well, I hope it goes better than this one. In Romania, the 71-year-old actually laid down in the coffin that his pallbearers carried to the cemetery the rehearsal.
That's what we have planned for you, Buzz.
Well, it's a good thing they had a rehearsal. The priest never showed up, and Alexandru realized that the only key to the family crypt was in his pocket. While he was inside the casket.
Hey, terrific.
So he had to get out of the casket to finish the rehearsal, but that didn't help either because his grief-stricken survivors couldn't stop laughing. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You know, someone...
Now!
Thank you. Someone has followed our blueprint for our trial buzz burial that we're going to be doing this weekend.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's going to be a trial of cremation.
No laughing.
Hey, listen, join the 4-Hour Club. And make the vow to listen to the show 4 hours every day. Send us your name, address, and please, for the love of Christ who died for your sins, send us your phone number.
Yeah.
P.O. Box 3649er, Washington, D.C. 20007. We will start trolling for 4-Hour Club members next week on the show. Hello.
Am I calling 100?
Yep. No, you know what? No, I'm sorry.
No.
No, you got to be assertive at the end of the show. Sorry.
Hey, I'm calling from the time machine.
I don't care.
I'm just calling by chance. I'm in Burlington, Vermont. We can't hear you until later.
But you know what to say.
Whining, whining, whining. Bye. Thanks anyway. Hi, Don and Mike show. Tune in later.
I am. Caller 100.
There you go. Hi, what is your name, please?
I'm Walter Gregg.
Hey,
Bakersfield.
Walter, Bakersfield, California. You've won the 7-Eleven Big Sub Combo Meal Prize Pack. 7-Eleven had a Big Sub sandwiches to a new combo meal lineup. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you. On tape delay.
In Bakersfield, yeah. See, all the tape delay people are calling now because for them it's the end of the show, but very soon it's going to be the beginning of the show.
That's what time machines do.
The time machine. Oh, and Christ, we're running out of time. Just let me say, very soon, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Chicago. Dallas, Seattle.
Very exciting.
FM for this show, happening soon.
Cool.
Gotta go. We're late. Thank you. Goodbye, Buzz.
Thank you. Goodbye, Don.
Thank you. Goodbye, Mike.
Thank you, Night Dot.
Rob, throw your hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Hey.
See you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.